schmabulous episode of
The Don and Mike Show.
And today we shall witness an earth-shaking discovery.
Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara.
Oh, who are you guys with? NBC, CBS?
Radio God.
You gave up jobs and security, show business?
The Don and Mike Show.
We've got a show to do.
Come on, guys. We're on the air.
Have a good show.
Produced by 106.7 WJFK, Washington's Superstation.
It's going to be a great show.
All right, well, good luck.
And distributed by Westwood One Entertainment.
We should thank our lucky stars. They're still putting on a program of this caliber after so many years.
Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. Free contest rules. Send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the mighty WJFK. P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Please join Don and Mike for a beautiful weekend of Las Vegas-style shows. For the first time ever, the Don and Mike Las Vegas-style show does a two-nighter out west. It's at Paul Quinn College.
No, Barry, it's in Sacramento.
God damn it. I'm cutting a f***ing spot, Tony. Let's try this here again. One more time. This Friday at the Sacramento Valley Amphitheater at 8 p.m. And on Saturday the 28th, the very next night, they perform in Reno, of course, at the beautiful Silver Legacy Resort Casino City Center Pavilion. It will be one hell of a sexy time. And ladies are always welcome. Stay tuned to your local Don and Mike Love Network affiliate station to find out how to get your tickets now.
Barry, that was great.
Fuck this, Tony. I don't need this bullshit.
Yeah, everybody loves Don and Mike.
Number one, Arbitron Link, the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Last time on the Don and Mike Show.
All right, Mike, what do you got?
It's a brown bag.
Oh, look at all Mike's stuff.
We've got Banneral on them.
Clearasil.
Yeah, Clearasil. Yeah.
Floss.
Clippers.
Right. Toothbrush.
Nail clippers.
Sure you don't mind me touching your toothbrush.
Oh, stop it.
Oh.
Sure you don't mind.
Now he's got to get a new brush.
The Don and Mike Show.
For all you good, moral, Christian people who are complaining that breasts and vaginas are obscene. Hey, don't complain to me. Complain to the manufacturer. Okay? And although Jesus told us not to judge, I know you're going to judge anyway, so judge sanely. Judge with your eyes open. What do you consider obscene? Is this obscene to you?
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll-free, at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi. Hi. Welcome to our show.
Mr. Son of a
Beach. Hey, Don and Mike.
Lord, you don't know to fill a book.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
So this plane that was attacked?
Yes. Yes.
All the people on the plane, they were in the missionary position, right?
Right.
Then they should be okay.
That's wild.
That is wild.
That's a wild, wild joke. But not as wild as this man. The man who will save their souls. Philip Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
You see, they were missionaries,
yes,
the people on the airplane that were killed.
How's that, you say?
They were missionaries. Hi, Rob.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Fat Joe Namath and all the ships at sea. Broadcasting with a coffee bag under each of their seats.
Yeah.
Ron Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robbie.
And hello, and thank you for listening, everybody, to a new episode of the Don and Mike Show on Monday.
Monday. Hi, everybody.
April 23. What are you doing?
No, it just seems like we saw each other a short time ago. It just seemed like an hour ago.
Mm-hmm. Just a few days ago.
Yes, yeah. Just a couple of days ago.
And for you and I, just moments ago.
Our
bonding up in the office.
Absolutely.
For the show. Listen, it's a busy week for the show.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be on the road again this week. Friday night, we will be doing a Las Vegas-style show in Sacramento at the Sacramento Valley Amphitheater.
Yeah, baby!
Capacity 17,000. please show up, otherwise we'll be terribly embarrassed.
Yeah, I mean, if we put like 300 people in there, it is going to be sorely embarrassing.
We're going to feel like Warren.
Right.
We're going to feel like Poison on concert.
Yeah, we have to have at least 8,000, because that's what we had last time. We have to have probably, I'd like to see at least 10,000.
Mm-hmm. We got to do at least half the place.
Yeah.
Sacramento, Friday night, Sacramento Valley Amphitheater. Saturday night, Las Vegas-style show. Both these shows start at 8 o'clock West Coast time, Friday and Saturday night. Saturday night in Reno at the Silver Legacy Resort Casino.
Absolutely.
So if you need tickets, you know, listen to the stations. If you're in Sacramento, just show up.
Please.
I mean, just come out the day of the event and you'll get in.
Yeah, as we go on stage at 11 o'clock Eastern time.
That's right.
And to catch us on that second night, we should be pretty goofy.
Yeah. We'll be good and goofy tired. Looking forward to it this weekend, Sacramento Friday night and Reno on Saturday night. Now, we're going to start today with a bit of the weekend, because today we're jam-packed. All of the six Gal Pal guinea pigs who were in our breast experiment are coming in today to have their breasts remeasured to see if they've grown.
Just the one-month anniversary?
Yep, 30 days since they came in and started taking the product New Boss.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll be in here topless. They'll be getting measured, and we'll see if anybody's grown or not.
Mm-hmm.
I got a story from the airplane on the way back from New York.
Yeah, you stayed up in New York on a Friday night, came back Saturday morning bright and early.
And I told Mike I will never bust his balls again about being a nervous flyer.
Really?
Because there was a guy on the Delta shuttle when I was coming back from New York.
It's always the Delta shuttle.
Well, it seems to be, and it's not the Delta shuttle's fault. It was this guy's fault.
Okay.
This guy. Who is this guy? This guy. You don't want this guy. So I'm sitting in the front row of the airplane. So it's stadium seating.
Right.
So I'm in the front row to the right side of the airplane, and I have the seat right on the aisle. This guy's in the front row to the left side, and he is also in the aisle seat.
So there's an aisle between you, so you're basically sitting next to each other.
Yeah, and by the time the plane starts the engines, we're crammed in there like sardines. I mean, every single seat is taken. And there's a woman next to me and a foreign woman next to her, and they're talking, and I'm noticing that the guy in this aisle seat across from me, he's talking, and everybody seems fine. It's not until they announce that you should buckle your seatbelts, that we're going to start taxiing for takeoff.
Okay.
That I noticed this guy digging his hands, his claws, into the seat.
Mm,
he's nervous now. He's nervous.
Yes. Okay? So he's visibly nervous.
He's visibly nervous. As the engines start to power up, and we start going down the runway.
For takeoff?
For takeoff, right. He starts saying, S. S, 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 S.
Oh, my God.
S, 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 S. I mean, I'm not exaggerating.
Wow.
This guy is going, S, S. Now, the plane has not even taken off yet.
Oh, my God.
The plane
God.
Has not taken off. Nobody knows what to do with this guy. It's like he's got Tourette's syndrome. The plane, when it takes off, like all of them, it's kind of wobbly and there's a little turbulence.
Mm-hmm.
It's at that point when the plane actually takes off that he switches from S to F. And now it's
oh, my God.
F, 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 F. And I swear to God, I'm not exaggerating. He is doing it loudly enough to be heard over the airplane engines. He is just sitting there like a mental patient with his hands gripping the armrest going, F, 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 F. And the guy next to him is trying to talk him through this. This business dude who's saying...
Is the guy next to him with him? Or
no.
Is the, oh, my
no.
God.
He's, now, this guy's trying to talk him through this.
I mean, for anybody that is a nervous flyer that's on that plane, I mean, that's... God, I mean, that would kill me. That yeah. would absolutely kill me.
And this guy who's sitting next to him, he's saying, calm down. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. And the guy who's coming off with the obscenities, he's talking to the guy... And he'll talk to him for a second, and he'll be calmed down, and then he'll realize that the plane is still taking off, and it would go like this. The guy sitting next to him would go, listen, calm down. There's nothing to worry about. This is an easy flight. This is a 40-minute flight. Yeah, I know it. It's just I'm a bit of a nervous flyer, and, you know, I should have taken the class and thinking, F, 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 S, 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 S,
It sounds like Tourette's. I mean, it sounds like Tourette's, but it's... God.
So the plane gets up to whatever the level is when they turn the seatbelt light off.
Yeah.
And Now the waitress comes by, and she says to this dude, she says, are you okay? And now he's a totally different person. Mm-hmm. He's like, before we took off, he's calmly saying to her, yes, I have a problem flying.
Yeah, that's apparently everybody else's problem on the plane, too.
He says, I took a class. And she's obviously just trying to calm this dude down. She said, what was the class like? He said, well, they put us on an airplane, and we had to sit on the airplane for half an hour, and then we taxied around a little bit, and I'm usually pretty good, but that was a very rough takeoff. And the girl says to him, no, that was pretty much a standard takeoff. And the guy says, well, I'm sorry, I'm just a very nervous flyer, and by this time, everybody's chilled out a little bit.
But he kind of understands. The guy's a little freaked out. But, I mean, it manifested itself in a...
The guy's nutty because...
Weird way.
As the plane is just continuing its regular flight from New York to D.C., it gets a little bumpy. And, I mean, you would not have been flipped out by it in the least.
Right.
You wouldn't have noticed it.
Mm-hmm. I also, as I told you before, outside of, like, really chilling experiences, I kind of... internalize. My only thing is when I'm freaking out, I don't want to talk to anybody.
Right.
I want to press my, you know what I do. You flying up about
you look out the window.
Out the window for the whole flight if I have to.
Well, it gets just, I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10 of being on a bumpy airplane, this was a 0.5.
It was just light chop.
Virtually nothing. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, it's quiet. All of a sudden, you hear the guy, MF! 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 S! 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 GD! SGD! And now it's at this point that...
Oh, man, that's amazing.
The volunteer fireman, and I know this because he had a pretty satin jacket on that said he was a volunteer fireman from Burtonsville, Maryland,
right,
who was sitting in the row behind this guy, he taps him on the shoulder and he says, hey, excuse me, but I've got kids back here. Yeah. And the guy says, hey, I'm sorry, I'm just a real nervous fire.
He keeps doing it like he can't control it.
He can't.
Must be Tourette's.
No, I don't think it was Tourette's. I really, because he would.
I mean, it would be a if it was just fear.
It was, but Tourette's happens all the time, right?
Well, or in some people.
Stimulus does it.
Yeah, just when they're under stress, which would certainly be this guy, I think.
Towards the end of the flight, here's how it started.
Oh,
it was a 45-minute flight, very fast flight.
For like 4 hours and 50 minutes.
At the beginning of the flight, people were scared. I mean, I could tell when I look around that you got this guy screaming out obscenities.
Mm-hmm.
Then, like the second time, people felt sorry for this dude.
Right.
Then when the guy with like a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old said something to him and he still kept doing it, then people got mad.
Yeah.
And when we started our descent into Alzheimer's Airport, Reagan National, as he was doing this, because, you know, you could hear the flaps coming down or going up or whatever they're doing, and it would get a little bouncy. He started going, F, F, S, 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 S.
Is he trying to be quieter about it?
No, absolutely not. People now are openly just laughing at him.
Oh, man.
I mean.
Oh, my God.
I'm looking at these broads next to me, and they're, you know. Nobody's hiding the fact that they're just staring at this
guy.
How
could you not if the guy's doing that?
People are just staring at this guy, and I'm looking up the waitresses who are strapped into their, you know, their crash seats up front.
Were they grinning a little bit?
They're laughing, too. I mean,
right.
Who can't not laugh at this guy who can't control the fact? I mean, it was Seasucker, MF'er, GD.
Oh, I feel sorry for the guy with the kids.
S.
Surprised the guy didn't take a swing at the guy.
S was his number one word, though.
Unbelievable.
S was his favorite word, and he must have repeated it, I guess you not, no pun intended, maybe 50 times in a row when we were landing. S. I mean, I wish I could say it because it's just saying S.
It's just astonishing. Did he say it all the way down to landing?
Yes.
Did he knock it off once you were on the ground?
Yes. Once the plane landed, he reached into his pocket and got his phone and was like a normal business guy. Said
no apologies to anybody or anything?
No. Said nothing to anybody.
But it has to be some sort of disorder beyond just being a scare. I mean,
it's fantastic.
Without saying,
it was better than a movie.
Without really apologizing to everybody.
You don't expect to be entertained on Adult Shuttle.
Exactly.
But I was really entertained by this guy.
Truly amazing.
He went from being someone you pitied to someone who was making you mad to someone that maybe you had some empathy for, and by the end of it, which is like, God damn, get a hold of yourself. At one point, I said to him, the only thing I said to him was, have you ever thought about the train? He said, I can't. I gotta be there. I gotta be there in an hour. And I said, okay, well, I fly with someone who's a little manic, and he takes the train.
Thank you.
Well, you know, trains are all right, but that takes 3 hours, and I have to be... And at this point, he was normal again until things started bouncing around.
Weird.
Like,
S,
S, S, S.
Did you really, call me manic?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, okay.
Just for the purpose of that conversation, you know.
I was just trying to help him out.
Right.
Okay. That's all.
The story.
I mean, if anything,
you don't really think I'm manic, do you?
Sometimes. But no, now listen. Compared to this guy, no, you're Joe Valium compared to this guy. I mean, I told you I came back today. Yeah. I won't bust your balls again when you get nervous on a flight, because I have never seen you react like this guy did.
Well, I would certainly keep that to myself, you know. I mean, I would maybe let an oh my God out, but, you know, especially after, what's amazing to me is after the guy with kids said something to him, it doesn't sound like he had any control over it, which would mean it would be a nervous flyer, but also some sort of disorder. They might have had Tourette's. I love somebody that has Tourette's. We have a lot of people with Tourette's that listen to this show.
All right, let me see.
Hello. How did they call?
Don.
Do you have Tourette's?
Yes, I do.
You have Tourette's?
Yes, I do. I was diagnosed when I was about 6.
Really? What do you say? Involuntarily, what do you say?
F, S, M, F, you know, things like that. But I want to say it does happen during stressful situations. You know, it sounded like, you know, the first couple times I flew, I was the same way, you know.
Okay,
maybe the guy's just not used to flying.
Wow. So you think the guy might have had Tourette's?
Yeah, I think so. It sounds like it, you know. For me, it only happens, like, during stressful situations.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
What can we do to make this phone call more stressful?
You guys really can't make me stressful. I relax when I listen to you guys.
Very good. Glad we get help. All right, but you do have Tourette's.
Yes, I do. And from what you guys were saying, it does sound like it, yeah.
You guys, like, have a membership card or something?
No.
I mean, I would think it would be handy for this guy if he has this fit, that at least he could pull this card out in some way, you know, say, I'm a member of the Tourette's Club of America.
Let me ask you, if you were in a similar situation and you were doing this, wouldn't you have mentioned your disorder at some point? I mean, because I know people with Tourette's. I've played in a Tourette's golf. I think Theismann has a Tourette's golf.
All he said is that he's a nervous flyer. Uh-huh. I told everybody that he's taken these classes.
Would you mention to people that you had Tourette's if it was you doing this?
There's some friends I've had for years that I've never mentioned it too, and it's just, you know,
you'd rather
really
keep
bring up.
Okay, so you'd rather say the S and the F and
let's
not let anybody
end
know.
The stigma about Tourette's.
You're testing around everybody else.
What's all this about Tourette's syndrome?
Yes, come out of the closet,
but
everyone.
If you went off like that in front of a group of strangers, would you say something to them, or, I mean, you would be aware that you did it, right?
I'd be aware, but yeah, I'd be a little afraid to tell them because it's just, it's something I really don't want to bring up.
Okay, like, that's an honest answer. Like the dad with the kids, if he said something to you, would you, to try to ease his mind, to explain it to him, or just let it go?
I'd let it go.
This guy just said, hey, I'm a nervous flyer.
Yeah.
I'm very nervous. MF! MF!
Yeah.
It's something where you don't know the people, you're probably never going to see him again.
Right. You know, maybe it's the way that I'm relaying it to you with my cadence, it wasn't like a Rain Man type thing, where he'd go, S-S-S-S-S-S-S, except when we were landing.
Was it more like really nervous? Oh, O, S.
Yeah.
Oh, S.
Except
oh.
Without the O. It would just
okay.
Be S. S. I mean, I wish I could S. Say it. It would, he'd be...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fuck.
Wow.
Fuck. Mother, father. Mother, father.
Wow.
Mother, father. Yeah. Yeah,
I would have gone.
That's the level.
That I would not have handled well.
Incredible.
Like I said, 20 minutes into it,
I might have been entertained.
It became like an HBO special.
After a while. But I'm sure everybody's a little disturbed at first.
Well, at first, yeah.
Everybody's, including yourself, a little freaked out by this.
I was sitting almost right next to the guy. You know, and I thought, well, I'm certainly not a good enough person like the guy was who was sitting directly next to him, who actually tried to talk him down from this and tried to help him. I mean, I didn't want to get involved with the nut job.
Right.
But this guy who was sitting next to him had his raincoat neatly folded in his lap. I mean, the whole way I could tell what he was doing. He was just trying to keep the guy occupied, saying, like, are you from D.C.? Are you from New York? Well, I have a home in both cities. My family has grown up and blah, 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 blah. And I know he's just trying to trying to keep him going.
Yeah.
And this guy would talk with him, and he would have normal conversations. And
trying to be a good guy.
And the plane was shaking. He goes, oh, shh, oh, shh, oh, shh. Mother, father. Mother, father. And a lot of it was...
You know, you're getting very good at
deliberate.
The profanity without, you know, pulling back. I wouldn't take that chance. I'd slip up and go for the full curse.
Oh, sure. But he didn't say oh, it was sha.
Oh, sha.
Sha.
Oh, sha.
Sha.
Fa.
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 Absolutely. Underwear Kmart.
Hello, the Don and Mike Show.
Don.
Yes.
Hey, we just came back from a cruise flying out of Florida, and this lady was puking all over the place. She must have filled about 3 or 4 bags. It was horrible.
All right, thank you, my friend.
Yeah, bye.
All right, great story.
Thank you.
Traveling.
Thank you for the call.
I took the train this weekend and went up to see my mom up in Hartford, Connecticut.
He loves his mom.
His mom, she was 81 years old yesterday.
Oh, congratulations.
Had a nice little party for her. Came back 8 hours on the train yesterday.
Oh.
I mean, you know, airlines, trains, you know, taking the car, there's just too many people in America. Uh-huh. That's all. I don't think there's any real, you know, for those people, I always sing the phrases of the train. Yesterday was, yesterday it fell back a few notches for me. As we got into the seventh hour, it became a little dicey. But nobody was vomiting and nobody was saying S.
Yeah, but listen, I'm telling you that the vomiting would have bothered me. The guy with the profanity, that was
entertainment after a while.
After a while, it was. It really was. It was rather funny. And I tried to follow the guy on the way off the airplane because what I really wanted to do was, they always ask me if I want a business card, and I always turn them down. I think you do, too. When they come around and say, do you need a business card? I always say no. But one of these times I'm going to say yes, because that's a situation where I wanted to give the guy my card.
And say call.
To say, I'm going to give you a special number. Call on Monday, because people won't believe what you were saying
right
on the airplane. But I don't know how I would possibly even come up to a guy like that.
I know.
I know that I wished I'd had those cards when I've been in a movie theater before, when there's been someone who's been talking very loudly. I've wanted to give them a card saying, hi, I'm from WJFK Radio.
Right.
If you call this number Monday at 3:10, mm-hmm. you're going to win a fantastic prize. Just to have the person that was running their mouth call into the show so I could yell at them on the radio.
they'd be called ambush cards.
Yes.
Hey, I really enjoyed listening to you talk. Here's my card. Give me a call tomorrow.
Call me. Call me on the radio tomorrow. The Tourette's dude. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, I was just calling because I've done this to people before on a small commuter aircraft that I had to fly, and I'd never on a small plane where you could actually, it was like 20, 30 people, and you could actually see the pilots, and there was this LED thing up in the front of the plane. And it was just counting down and counting down and counting down. And I was going, oh, my God, it's the gas gauge. And we're getting closer and closer to Pittsburgh where we were coming in. And the pilot's, like, going faster and faster. And this thing's counting down. And I'm going, Jimmy, we're running out of gas. We're running out of gas. And this is a little commuter full of businessmen. They're all just kind of, like, looking at me.
Were you doing this as a goof or are you serious?
I was absolutely serious.
You're a nervous flyer?
You were going to run out of gas before we got to the airport.
Oh, my God.
Were you on the Delta shuttle?
No, it was some little commuter.
You know, being a nervous flyer in the club of nervous flyers, a guy like this, if you're ever sitting next to me and do that, I'm just going to kill you. I will do the jail time. I will kill you. Just leave me alone. Let me wallow in my own terror.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Oh.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thanks.
Good. I worked with an attorney that had Tourette's, and the guy said he didn't actually know, or family didn't know he had Tourette's.
God, how would you want that? How would you like that? How would you like to be in traffic court, and your attorney, the guy who's representing you, has Tourette's?
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, effer.
Well, I mean...
And he would. He would just start cussing, and he would jerk, and he'd, like, pound his fist on the podium and, like, run back and forth across the courtroom and cuss and...
Well, I think the most famous portrayal of Tourette's was L.A. Law.
Yeah.
With that wonderful guy, that wonderful actor that did it when he was in... Didn't he speak to the judge?
Yeah.
Call him like a bitch.
Yeah.
You know, well, if that's the way you feel about it, you bitch.
Exactly. They do. They're just completely out of control. You find yourself cussing, too, and you talk to them. You can't help it.
Tourette's and you, perfect together.
You know, when I did this golf tournament, I talked to a lot of people. In fact, I played golf with a bunch of guys who listened to the show, and we had talked about Tourette's before, and they laughed at it. They thought it was funny. So, I mean, I guess there's some people that are stigmatized by this, don't want to come out, but a lot of these guys were kind of open about it.
No, I say wear it on your sleeve.
Yeah, amen.
Wear it on your... Be proud.
Sure.
You have Tourette's. You have the ability
to say what is ever on your mind, and no one will criticize you for it.
Yeah, you will. And as a matter of fact, you, not only that, but it won't necessarily be what's on your mind. You can claim that you really didn't mean it. It was just the Tourette's.
Yeah, right.
Blame it on that, you know? Okay, you fat effer.
Right, oh, I have Tourette's.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
F your mother. That, I have Tourette's.
That happens to me. That happens to me, okay?
I have Tourette's.
You see, sucker? I'm so sorry. I really didn't mean it.
Your brother's the C word. Oh, I have Tourette's.
It was my disorder.
You dumbass. You dumb sh... Tourette's. Sorry. I just see this, just the guy's got the badge on. You know?
Yeah, where's that name tag?
Like the Superman S.
Right.
Except it's got a T in the middle of it.
Yeah, and that, you know, gives you carte blanche.
Wow, that's great. I almost wish I had Tourette's.
You know, is there any... I guess there you can on an airplane. You can... do that. You know, with all the air raid stories that you're hearing lately, you know, including one with twin sisters going to China over the weekend, and then another one with
that was great. Those two girls fighting on the airplane.
You know, I have never laughed at it. You know, some guy on this plane
happened to have his video camera,
and it was, I think, on one of the 10 o'clock news that I watched. And a guy, and they teased it, and of course they teased it, and then there wasn't enough video. They just did 5 seconds.
You should have seen it on Good Morning America today.
Where they went. Oh, my son, you're stopping you. Son of a bitch! And it was two twin sisters
These
fighting.
Two girls that were really, I mean, really fighting on an airplane. Oh, it's fantastic.
And some, you know, wonderful passenger had the presence of mind to fire up the old video camera.
Those are handy. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don and Mike. I just wanted to tell you all that not everybody with Tourette's has to spout out profanity and everything else like they're portrayed on TV. My husband has Tourette's and he doesn't do any of that stuff.
Right. I think that's true. A lot of people don't. It doesn't manifest. It manifests itself differently.
What's the fun? You know, you spin the DNA wheel of fortune.
What quirky stuff does he do?
Well, he kind of, you know, eye blink sometimes and, you know, stuff like that.
Ticks. Oh, that's no fun, though.
Small tick.
I mean, you spin the DNA wheel, it comes up on Tourette's, you got it, you might as well have the best form of it. And if
when we tell people that that's what he has, they always tell him, oh, no, you're just joking around, you don't have that, and I swear to God, he does.
Well, see, if he has it and it manifests itself like with just a little harmless eye blinking, tell him that, you know, he ought to use it. Use it in the office sometime.
Right.
I mean, I'll let him know.
What a great opportunity to tell people what they really think.
But you know something? Once it's said, people still don't care. They don't care about the disorder. That's the way people respond to profanity. Yeah. They want, oh, you have Tourette's? Well, you still called me an MF-er.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
I went to go buy my house. I'm plopping down, you know, a couple $100,000. You're scared to death. You're in there. The guy who was selling you the house, his secretary, had Tourette's. She's in the middle of this, and every time I sign my name, she flies one off at me.
Really?
I'm serious. All I'm hearing at this point is I'm looking down going, 30 years. Good God. $200,000. Okay, here we go. She starts mouthing off what I'm thinking. Whoop! Oh! She's making noises. She's cussing at me. She's cussing at my wife. I look over at the guy who is in charge. He pulls me out of the room later. He goes, I hired the woman. I had absolutely no idea she had that.
Yeah, you know what? I'd love to do an all Tourette's show someday where you have people with Tourette's down here. I mean, we'd have to be on an incredible delay.
Yeah, I'm afraid that if we got the people that you're looking for.
No, how about if we had a Tourette's show, but we had like a party with them before the show?
Right.
And we would just put them in a room with microphones.
And just, you know, and record it and then bleep out the cuss words.
And bleep out the cuss words.
I think that might be fun.
But they'd have to be legitimate Tourette's, though.
Right.
We could have no fake Tourette's, no faux Tourette's.
No. And you never know. You know, you'd get. How do you do that? What do we get? A doctor with a blood test? I mean, I have no idea.
Well, you'd have to come down with whatever your paperwork is that says
your membership card.
Your Tourette's Club of America or whatever it is. Listen, is there anybody in our audience who has Tourette's who would be willing to be part of a big Tourette's show?
A Tourette's party.
Yeah. We'd have free food and beverages.
Yeah. And the whole thing to remove the stigma of Tourette's for people that don't
want
to come out. Sure.
Right, to remove the stigma.
Well, we could advertise it like you want to and just say it's a naked making fun of people with a disease, but I think that might not fly all that well. I know that's what you might want to do.
What's all this about Tourette's anyway? Tourette's. Really, not that bad. Come on down. Come to the Don and Mike Tourette Syndrome Party.
Absolutely.
Come on down. Do you suffer from Tourette Syndrome? Come have lunch with us in the office. Join us for an hour of spirited debate on today's hottest topics.
And that was probably run tape on it, you know, and then record it and delay, you know, because obviously
we'd have to beat
it
out.
If we did the delay, we might not be able to pull
it
off.
Why not make it a telethon?
A telethon.
I mean, you could use it to inform and right. entertain.
No, we just—I just think we have a Tourette's party. That's all, a Tourette's party,
mm-hmm.
and invite people down. We get a bunch of stressful topics for them to discuss.
Absolutely.
You know, like for a half hour. We're gonna
tell us how you lost your virginity.
Yeah, you know. The worst thing that ever happened in your life.
Absolutely.
Can you imagine if you were in a burning building? I mean, this, you know, we could ask them all kinds of bad stuff.
For a lot of them, just being on the radio will make them nervous.
Tell us about your most embarrassing moment.
Well, it was the time that I am out.
Yeah, there
the
you
time
go.
That I CS.
Sure.
The time that I shit.
And if it was like that guy on L.A. Law, you know, it'd be interesting.
Or listen, if it was like this guy on the airplane.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, we went from...
If he had indeed had Tourette's, but we haven't determined that.
I don't think he did.
You'd have to give him the card. That was made up. You know.
The Tourette's test.
Just Donnie on it, with a phone number underneath.
Call me. Hi.
Call me. Call Donnie.
You have Tourette's. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
All right. I have Tourette's syndrome, and it's funny and not funny. I've had my nose broken a whole bunch of times.
Ooh. You mean by people that have smacked you?
Yes, I've had several black eyes.
That's funny.
Really no tactful way to... you can't wear a sweatshirt that says I have Tourette's.
Sure you could.
Well, I guess I could, but I mean, that's almost like wearing a sweatshirt that says I have herpes.
Well, those people should wear sweatshirts also.
I don't think of it that way. I mean, if you're saying that, in between doing this, I would think you'd want people to know that there's a reason why you're saying, but you're the second person that seems to want to keep it to themselves and deal with, you know, just people hearing you cuss.
And people punching you in the face.
Yeah, I mean, why not reveal it? Do you really feel that it's that tough a thing embarrassing a thing? I mean, I think herpes is more embarrassing than Tourette's.
Well, the thing is, in what situation do you want to reveal you have Tourette's? Before you interact with someone, or?
Well, if you are having one
when
of those outbreaks where you're, you know, where you're, and do you have it? I mean, it comes in cycles, right?
Yes, it does. Certain things do trigger it. I've tried to watch my diet to monitor it. I tell you, the most embarrassing thing that happened is when I meet girlfriend's parents for the first time.
Oh.
That's a real bad scene.
Oh,
I've dated a lot of girls once.
Oh, God. How would you feel about being part of a Tourette's party?
That would be great.
You come down here and, you know, we provide you with all the food and drink?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Okay, hold on a second. Let's get your information. I've got someone else. Where's the other guy with Tourette's? I got someone else who's got it right now. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
You got it?
Yeah, hey, you might want to run it by the lawyers, but I would think under the ADA you would have to let these people cuss on the air so you wouldn't be discriminating against them.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice if we slid in that loophole? Wouldn't that be great?
Hello, you got it?
No, I don't have it, but I grew up with a neighbor that I had. He was a mailman. He was, as a kid, there was a riot. I mean, he would just walk around and go, "Mother, Manly, whore, Manly," and go, MF all the time, and he'd walk up and down the street pulling his socks up and painting. He would just go into berserks like that. It was sad, but again, it was funny as a kid just watching him and all the neighbors and all the people on his route knew him too.
Yeah. You know, I think it would be fine if we had this party where it was okay. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Where
right.
we were encouraging the cussing. You know what I mean?
Nothing wrong with it.
Where there's nothing wrong to come down here and, you know, really let it hang out. But then again, if that was the case, maybe it wouldn't happen that much because it happens when it's in real, well, legitimate times when you're not supposed to.
Well, that's why we put them in stressful situations. Or like we ask them, even if it's something as easy as asking them impossible trivia questions,
mm-hmm.
or maybe, you know, get them to talk about bad stuff that's happened to them.
Sure. Maybe the game show format.
Have a whole big Tourette's party.
Mike is thinking like I'm thinking. Make it like, what's my line?
But yeah, you know, like, what's my affliction?
The pressure of the game show environment could elicit that.
And have one person who doesn't have Tourette's.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, any day that you're up in our office, you might think that any of us have Tourette's.
Yeah, you're walking by there.
Well, anybody upstairs.
I mean, we drop the F-bomb constantly.
Be a phone call, you know. Be
anybody.
A lunch order gone bad.
Hello. Oops. Don and Mike show. Hello.
How you doing?
Hi, we're great, thanks.
Good. I wondered if Rob claims Tourette's when he punches his wife in the mouth.
No. My wife does have Tourette's, though, and a lot of times she'll have a nervous tick right towards my fist.
All right, get out of here. Goodbye. Well, listen, that's just something to think about for the Don and Mike planning board, the Tourette's party. We're down with Tourette's.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with Tourette's. Join our party. Yeah.
We've got Tourette's, and it's okay.
We could have Tourette's for a day, you and I.
No.
Sure we could, Rob.
Sure.
I mean, we'd want to probably get it rolling, so
yes.
And if we're going to be editing, you and I'd be, how long will we not discipline ourselves on that?
There'd be no chance.
We would just be sitting there the whole thing.
All the time.
Rapper.
Just like a total cuss show.
Right.
Well, listen, if you got Tourette's, call Lisa. Maybe by the end of the show, we'll find out if there's enough Tourette-ites out there.
Right.
And maybe we can have our big Tourette's party show.
And also if there's somebody that's an expert, like a medical person who knows, how we could elicit the responses, you know, what type of situations would get the desired result.
I understand what you said. How could we...
No, don't worry. I wasn't attempting to do any good whatsoever.
I understand what you said. How could we be sure that we could set these people off?
Pure exploitation. Don't worry. No, absolutely not. Not to educate or inform or anything positive at all.
No, we're here to entertain.
That's pure entertainment. That's
Tourette's
right.
Tourette's equals entertainment. I mean, listen, if the guy on the airplane didn't have it, then he should take this act on the road. Because by the end of the flight,
that's right,
everybody was just howling with laughter at this guy.
Now, basing your experience with him on the guy that was on L.A. Law, you think the guy could have had it?
No, I don't.
So. You think he was just a nervous?
Just
guy.
A nervous flyer.
That's weird.
I think so because he didn't have the cadence.
He was like shouting it out in a violent way.
No, and kind of a lot of it was to himself. I mean, it was loud enough to be heard, but he wasn't doing it like...
And it was the way you were saying it.
Yeah.
Have you thought that maybe you might have it?
Yes, well, of course I do. I'm the poster boy for it. And who's got the time for $8 a day, Mike?
I know. It's a hassle.
Okay, let's try to give away money.
All right.
Right here, right now with the secret sound. Call 100. Good luck to you. 877-365-3636.
Number one, Arbitron Lincoln. The Don and Mike Show.
Church, Virginia. Hello.
Hi, Larry. There's a couple guys here in Washington, Don and Mike, who play a tape of you getting asked about journalism by somebody, and you think he's talking about medical school. Do you remember that?
No.
Do you ever listen? Have you ever heard Don and Mike?
I never get to hear them. They were on the morning. They're on the afternoon. I never get to hear them. We took over their show one day. I went, in fact, the day before the heart attack, we went and took over their program one morning. And totally destroyed them. But you could doctor tapes.
They invite prostitutes to join in.
Yes.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
A prostitute with Tourette's, even better.
Oh, boy, that'd be incredible. Wow. A ranch.
kind of a turn-on, though, to have a prostitute with Tourette's. She talked dirty to you all the time.
The incredible. Well, you have to put her in a stressful situation.
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Hi. I'm a caller 100.
Yes, you sure are. Hi, what's your name? Hi there. What's your name?
Mickey.
Ricky, where are you from?
No, it's Mickey, like Mickey Mouse.
Oh, Mickey. Where are you from, Mickey?
Reno.
Mickey, you won the WWF Backlash prize pack, courtesy of Comcast, Cox Cable. You won WWF Backlash in demand Sunday night, live event from Chicago. Now, everybody else, call your Comcast or Cox Cable system to order it on pay-per-view. Now, Mickey. Hey, Mickey?
Yeah?
You're so fine.
Do I blow your mind?
Hey, Mickey. Hey, Mickey.
I'm going to do that.
Okay.
What?
No, I was just
that's going to be a song?
Tony Dazzle.
Okay, Mickey, right. You're going to play for $500 right now. Secret sound number three, a common everyday sound that you can hear at work or in the office or at school. We'll play you the sound now. Correctly identify it. Win $500. Please don't answer until Mike sings like.
The aforementioned Tony Dazzle.
We wish you
Godspeed. Caller, name this sound.
There it is. Do you remember back in the day the video for that?
Yeah.
She had like a cheerleader outfit on.
Right. Yep.
Kind of saucy she was.
Yes, she was.
If we do give away the money, it's courtesy of the good folks at Main Street Idol.
Oh, Mickey, you're so fine. You blow my mind. Hey, Mickey. Hey,
Hey, Mickey.
Yeah.
The best part of that is Mason. The choreograph.
Well, you know, you were mentioning the video, and I just went back there for a moment in my cheerleader suit.
It was very, very similar to the YMCA movie.
Yeah. She had all these different, you know, fold the arms. Oh, hey, Mickey.
So do you.
Thank you, Buzz. For $500, what is that sound?
An adding machine.
Oh, Mickey. No,
that's not fine.
Sorry.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you, though. You're so wrong. Thank you.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye. Hold on, please, Mickey.
Okay.
Hold on.
Oh, Mickey, you're so wrong.
And don't forget that every guest is a clue for you. So, the weekend. I just got a couple of things to say about the weekend.
The weekend. 48 hours of non-stop partying. The weekend.
And, of course, in our home, we constantly have that Loverboy song playing on the intercom system 24 hours a day, working for the weekend.
Open the door and it keys in automatically. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
That's right. And we do it just like Wava used to.
Yeah.
With the 5 o'clock whistle.
It was the most embarrassing, probably one of the most embarrassing things we ever had to do.
What they would do was, at the station we used to work at, on Fridays at 5 o'clock, and now this was a station that was about to change format, people were getting fired, station was going down the toilets, Mike and I were on the air every morning talking about how bad the station sucked,
right.
How we couldn't wait till we actually had a calendar. We would start every show by ripping a page off the calendar and counting the number of days left on our contract.
In the afternoon at this station, they had the 5 o'clock whistle on Friday afternoon when they would have the artificial party. I only, I don't know if you ever got to see it. I had the pleasure of only being in the station one time.
I saw it a couple of times, and Chuck Beck, the program director, would get on the intercom, and he would say, attention all employees, this is mandatory. Please report to the air studio now. All employees in the building, please report to the air studio now.
For the 5 o'clock whistle party, as everyone would jam into the studio and start to hoot and holler as though there was some sort of joyous celebration going on.
Now, the disc jockey, he would get on and he would play Working for the Weekend, or, you know, I don't want to work, I want to bang my head on the drum all day. And before the disc jockey keyed the mic, you had a room of 30 people who, first off, were pissed to be working at WAVA.
Most of them probably had another hour or two
of work left.
The way the schedule was.
On Friday afternoon, they've been pulled away from their desks, from the jobs that they were very soon going to lose because the station was going to change format.
It was an obligation. This was not something where you just, in a fun way. These weren't people who got into the spirit of fun being on the radio.
No, they hated it.
One giant pain in the ass.
So the disc jockey would clear the mic, and he'd go, 105, power 105, hey, everybody, let's do the countdown. And then all the people would have to go, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hold on, let me get a record here. Because we can really recreate it.
Who was on the air? Who was the? There were so many different afternoon shows when you were working there.
How about Bruce? He did it for a while.
Shadow.
Yeah, Bruce Bisson.
Shadow.
Shadow Stevens.
Shadow Smith. I'm so depressed, man. Did he do that to you the first time he did that? Where he took his little senior Huensis, thumb and forefinger, made the little voice going, I'm so depressed.
This guy used to sit in the studio with the lights turned off, the monitors turned completely down, and he would just be sitting in the studio contemplating how much he hated his life. And then when the light would come on saying that the record was over, he put his headphones on and he'd go, Power 105, WAVA, good afternoon, everybody.
One of those interesting individuals that, you meet introverts that are extroverts on the radio in this business. You meet people that are total extroverts, but then you meet people that are introverts both on and off the air, and I wonder, I've always been amazed that those people are in this business. And Shadow Smith was one of these guys. He was... It was all he could do to muster the enthusiasm.
He hated it.
He really did.
He hated his job, but, you know, he made about $50,000 a year, and he was a good disc jockey.
Very tight, very good disc jockey.
He hated being at the station. Okay, so here we go. I'll be Shadow.
Okay.
And you get they would always do this. All right, everybody, we're gathering down now. Let's count down.
Yeah,
what do you guys say?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
4, 3, 2, 1. It's the weekend!
job sucks.
I want to get drunk this weekend. What are you saying?
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
Friday and it's 5:05.
And then he turned the monitors off in the studio, and it would be like, silence.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks a lot for doing the fake party. See you later.
And I remember one time somebody said, wouldn't it be a better party if the station would actually, like, buy a six-pack of beer?
Well, we had those, too.
Yeah.
There was no radio station I don't think they're on the planet. During its prime time, you know, at the top of the heap, when WAVA was really, really doing well, I don't think there was any staff of people that got together and had more fun than we did.
And we got effed up all the time.
I mean, it would start at 10:30 in the morning after we would get our great ratings, and then it would continue,
wow,
in many cases, to the following morning on a work week.
On a work night. But that's the biggest phony thing in the world.
Oh, it was, and that was at the end. That was really at the depressing end when nobody really wanted to be there.
And then the record would run out, and they'd do the same thing where the dish jockey would say, okay, everybody, now let's make some noise now because we're going to have another record, okay?
Yeah.
Everybody got to like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you guys ready?
Yeah,
right.
Whatever.
Hey, yeah, we're back. Yeah, it's coming from
yeah,
now.
Friday. Yeah. Yeah.
It's Friday.
Yeah.
And hold on. Remember this, Mike? Remember the chant? Let's do the chant. Friday.
Friday. Friday. Friday.
That's right. That's right, man. It's Friday. We're going to party our asses off. What do you say?
They turn the mics off. They don't contemplate suicide together. They don't contemplate drinking Jim Jones Kool-Aid.
Fascinating place.
Goddamn.
And at the end, it was sad because it was really a great radio station that had been just raped by corporate America, by different management, and it was very, very depressing to work there.
But that was the biggest joke, was the Friday 5 o'clock whistle, and they would do it for an hour. They wouldn't do it for one break.
Sure.
They would make, and what they would do is, they'd let the people, the office workers, because the station only talked like every 10 minutes, they'd say, that's fine, you can go back and finish your work. Meet back here in 10 minutes for the next break.
Yeah.
And all these people would trudge back to their desks to do the job they hated. Then they'd have to come back into the studio.
First time they did it was great. First time they did it, everybody really thought it was funny and had a great time. But then when they realized it was a job, and we had to go up a flight of stairs to do it.
And there was really going to be no 5 o'clock party.
Right.
No. I mean, that's a lot of people thought when they put the memo out that said, be in the studio Friday at 5 for the 5 o'clock whistle.
Yeah.
People thought that they were going to get a chance to get something to eat, something to drink.
No, most people actually, towards the end, hated each other anyway. Probably didn't even want to be in that room together.
Yeah, man.
5 o'clock whistle, because it's the weekend, baby. We're ready to party.
And it was 9 times out of 10, it was Loverboy. It was working for the weekend, you know, the definitive top 40 at the time.
Weekend. We're having so much. We're having so much scary fun.
How do you spell Friday?
P-A-R-K. T-Y! Yeah, baby! What do you say, guys?
Yeah!
Party!
Yeah,
that's right, we're here to party our ass off. How about you guys?
All right, well, okay.
All right.
And there was a lot of that from the disc jockey.
How about it, you guys?
Oh, yeah, we're really into this.
Shadow. Friday, party time!
Yeah, wow!
Fun.
Woo!
Oh, goddamn.
They're fake.
Great radio station towards the end. Awful, humiliating place to work.
It was. It was sad. Very sad.
Really was. But listen, not as humiliating as I got home from New York. That's a great segue, incidentally.
I got sick in the hospital.
And this day and age, man, you can't even get sick.
Sick, man.
It's all junk.
Maids talking.
Freaks. What were we doing?
Were we doing that on the air?
No, that was off the air.
Off the air, yes.
Freaks carrying your luggage up to the room.
In this day and age.
Man, you can't even get sick. That was at the Red Eye Grill before Friday's show.
I got sick in the hospital. I don't read movie magazines.
Because they're all junk. Ladies and gentlemen, excuse me, I'm talking to somebody else.
Doing our Elvis impression. If Elvis talked real.
That is an insult to me, to my doctor, and to my little daughter.
I will rip your tongue out by the roots.
Thank you very much.
Elvis Aaron Presley.
All right, so I get home from New York, and two crises going on, same time in my home. Of course, this was the weekend that it was 80 degrees.
Beautiful weekend.
Approaching 90, so this, of course...
Lovely weekend.
We turned on the air conditioner, and it's busted.
Oh, no.
So it was like 100 degrees in the house.
God.
And then the brand new dishwasher, you remember, with all the fanfare that I bought Frida last fall?
Yes.
The Space Age Jetsons dishwasher.
Right.
It broke.
Did it leak all over the floor?
No, it just wouldn't work.
Okay.
So what that meant was Frida actually, I believe for the first time, and I can't, since before Bart was born,
right,
had to actually wash dishes herself this weekend.
Oh, my God.
And I derived an incredible amount of pleasure. I'm just sitting there sweating my ass off. It was 100 degrees in our house. But I would just sit at the kitchen table just watching her wash dishes.
And grin.
Yeah, and it really pissed her off. She said, sure. She said, why don't you help? I said, why? Look how well you do that.
You didn't even dry, huh?
No, that's beautiful.
Wow.
That's great. So we had these two crises going, mm-hmm. and she got mad at me on Saturday. I guess maybe it was Sunday. I don't know which day it was, but she apparently thought there was something that we could do to get the situation resolved immediately.
The air conditioner or the dishwasher?
Both.
Okay.
And I already made a phone call and already received an answering machine at both of the places.
That stuff does always happen on the weekend.
Yeah, there's really nothing you can do. So at one point, we had all the windows in the house open, and it was like 100 degrees inside. It was 90 degrees outside. And she came in and she said, have you handled this yet? And I said, well, I made the phone calls. And she says, well, what are you going to do after that? I said, well, I'm going to... continue to sit here and watch the NFL draft. And that really rubbed her the wrong way.
That was not a good thing to do.
It really rubbed her the wrong way. She left the room and then she came back and she said, let me get this straight. You watch football, then you watch arena football, mm-hmm. and then you watch NFL Europe football. Now you're watching a show. Explain to me what they do during the show. I said, well, each team has 15 minutes to pick a player.
Doesn't she think Mel Kiper Jr. is cute?
This was day two. Mel Kiper Jr. is not even on day two.
Mel Kiper Jr. is not even on day two. This is, what? How does he get a free pass?
Day number two is Ron Jaworski.
Oh, Jaws.
And Mike Tirico.
Hey. All I know is that Mel Kiper Jr. are good, close, personal friends.
That's all he lives for is the NFL draft.
I would think he would be on to the bitter end. That's amazing.
He shoots his wad on Saturday when the big guys are picked.
So like the top 30 and then he takes a powder?
I think however many they pick on Saturday, 100 guys, 150 right. guys, and then he's not on. So Sunday, I mean, I'm positive that ESPN's viewership on Sunday was 3. Me and two other idiots that were dumb enough to watch the second day of the NFL draft.
Pretty beautiful on the entire East Coast all weekend.
I wouldn't know, Mike.
Great day outdoors.
You didn't leave your home?
I wouldn't know. Actually, I did. At one point, I left. Bart and I went to the health club where we're going to play basketball. We're going to play some one-on-one basketball. We have a basketball court in there. And the problem with him is that he is now taller than me. He's taller than Frida. He's filling out, and he's all arms and legs. He's that big, gangly teenager stage.
Right.
And we were playing basketball, and it used to be, listen, you'll find this hard to believe, I am not a naturally gifted athlete.
You know, stop that. Stop that, please. You know, enough with this charade.
I am a total fag klutz when it comes to playing sports. However, I've always had the advantage in basketball because I've always been taller than
myself. Double his height.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've been taller than him, and what he doesn't know is that the last 3 or 4 years, as he's been getting bigger and stronger, I've been playing harder and harder.
Using the body.
Yes, to maintain my level of superiority. Mm-hmm. Well, he's now taller than me. Mm-hmm. And as he pointed out to me, he's, you know, 30-some years younger than me. And and at one point, we were playing, and I was losing. We're playing the game to 20.
Right.
And the score was...
One-on-one?
Yeah.
Okay.
The score was 18 to 5.
Right.
Playing by ones. And I'm getting killed 18 to 5. And I decided that it was time to elevate my level of play a little bit.
You go to the body a little bit?
Yeah, so I started pushing and boxing out and stuff. And
he then elevated his game a little bit, and at one point, totally unintentional, we were both going up for a rebound, and all of a sudden, I was just standing there looking at the basket, and this big ape-like elbow came out, and boom, popped me in the nose, and the next thing you know, I got a bloody schnoz.
Whoa!
And I'm standing in the middle of the health club, and it is like the blood is just freaking pouring out of my nose.
Right.
And I look up at him, and I go, you're giving me a bloody nose. He's laughing.
Daddy's nose.
He's laughing. He's laughing. He says, I didn't mean to. I said, I know, but Court, you're giving me a bloody nose.
Give me a towel.
Give me a bloody nose. He says, well, are we playing or aren't we playing? I said, yeah, but you're giving me a bloody nose. So then I'm determined. Now I'm thinking to myself, okay, forget it. I don't care that he's my kid. I don't care that I love him more than anything.
The blood is thicker than water thing, not applying right.
Now I am going to kick his ass. And we check the ball back and forth, and I say to him, okay, I want to tell you something. All bets are off now.
You're still responding to your pain.
Your whole life, I've always monitored my play, and I've always played a little easier than I could. I want to tell you now, you want to play like a man? Let's play like men. Let's go. And he scored the next, I think, the next 8 points in a row.
Oh, my God.
It's just totally humiliating.
You didn't cry, did you?
And at the end, when I said, hey, good game, he said, Dad, can I tell you something? I said, what? He says, I was playing as hard as I could.
Oh, God.
Crushing blow. A crushing blow. Thank God they invented the game horse.
Right.
Because that's the only game now that I can beat him at.
Well, that doesn't require a lot of movement on horse.
No, you just
well, you miss some movement if you're doing something real fancy.
You just stand and you shoot the ball.
Do you have a particular shot that he finds difficult that you execute flawlessly?
Yeah, don't tell me if this is cheating in horse. There's a shot from, if you're right on the side of the basket for outside the 3-point line, that's the one shot I can make blindfolded. I can make it 10 times in a row.
On the side?
On the side.
Jump shot right down almost in the corner.
Off to the side, yes. You're almost behind the basket. You're parallel
with
the basket.
Well, you can be behind the basket in a lot of those games.
So what I would do is I'd say, okay, horse, here we go. And boom, I'd make the shot. He'd come over. Then I would go back to the same spot, and I would make the shot again. And he said, you can't do that.
Yes, you can.
And I said, what do you mean you can't do it? He says, you can't do that in horse. You can't take the same shot twice.
I think you could take it every single time if he couldn't make
that's
it.
That's what I think, too. But
that's the way I've always... The way you play horse is you come up with a shot that your opponent can't get, and you run him into the ground with
it. Well, I'm getting the new rules from him. So no. I said, all right, okay, I won't. So I went to the other side of the court, and I made the shot from there. And then he couldn't make it, and I was up, like, H-O. And I was, at this point, I'm out of my mind. I'm running around going, let's see. I have nothing, and you are, ho! You're a ho! And then he would look back at me, he'd go, oh, wait a minute, hold on. What was the score of the last game? Oh, yes, 25-8.
This is a friendly rivalry.
Yes, this is, you know what, this is the way that they see this crap in the NBA. This is the way the kids play now. This is the way that I have to play. And then he decides that he's going to really stick it to me because he says, okay, here's the shot. It describes an impossible shot. He says, you flip the ball in the air to yourself, you come down, pass between the legs, pass behind your back, then you do a reverse layup with your left hand.
Now, if I was playing horse, I would say that the actual, you know, all that stuff before that, you know, the actual shot itself is what really counts in horse. That's the way I look at it.
That's what I
kind of the old man approach.
I'm getting pissed at him because he's saying, okay, first you flip it in the air, then you dribble down, then between your legs, then behind your back, and then you make a reverse layup with your left. And I said, listen, enough of the soliloquy here. Make the shot.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm thinking he's describing something impossible.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, goddamn if he doesn't go, boom, boom, boom. Between his legs, behind his back, up to the basket, reverse layup with his left hand.
Makes the shot.
Wow. Like it's nothing.
Then it's very difficult in horse if the object of the game is to duplicate something, and not only is the degree of difficulty out of your grasp, but you're having trouble remembering what was done.
I'm going like in slow motion, where I'm dribbling. He goes, come on, dribble faster. I said, well, now, what is it now? It's between the legs? He goes, yeah. And rather than do it like he did, where he does it just as he's running, I actually have to stop.
Pass the ball between
my legs like a retard. And then it's behind the back, which is essentially me just taking the ball from my left hand, putting it behind my back, and taking it with my right hand.
Mm-hmm. Turning it over to the left again.
And then to the left with the layup, and that's where it all came apart. That's where the left-handed layup, can't do it.
Left-handed layup, very difficult.
Can't do it. But I did end up winning the game of horse.
Ah, very good.
So technically, I did win the game of horse, but I lost the regular game. And then I get home, and I'm just ready to chill. Okay, because we've all weekend with the hot weather, and nothing works in the house, and you know I'm getting beaten by my son at this game. Well, my wife says to me last night, she says, "Hey, listen, there's some sex in your future." I said, "Oh, fantastic." She says, "All you have to do is watch a foreign film with me." And I said, "Does it have subtitles?" And she said, "What does it matter? I'm telling you, you'll have guaranteed sex if you get off your ass and stop watching whatever you're watching and come watch this foreign movie with me."
Really?
So she comes into the room where I'm sitting and she says, "Movie starts in 1 minute." She got it on pay-per-view. 1 minute until the movie. I said, "I'll be there." She said, no. You got to be here for the very start of the movie or no deal.
A foreign film on pay-per-view. I'm trying to...
Movie called Woman on Top.
Woman on Top. Hey.
No. No, it's not like that. No, it's a piece of crap.
Corporate instructional film?
An art film.
Oh, okay.
Is what it is. So she comes back and she says, "This is your last opportunity. 15 seconds until this movie starts.
You have to watch it from start to finish or
this is what I don't know. So I say... "Okay, I'm here. I'm ready to watch this with you. Let's watch this foreign movie." So we sit down and we watch it. And I mean, 10 minutes into this movie, I know it is a stinker of the highest regard. I'm bored out of my mind with this movie. Thank God there's no subtitles, but it is just, I mean, I don't care what country it was made in. It is a bad movie. But my wife has promised me sex.
What country does it look like it was made in?
Brazil. Well, that's where it was based, Brazil.
Brazil.
So I am sitting there like a good soldier watching this. Now, I'm trying to give her all of my subtle clues. Like at one point I went...
No hotties at all in it either?
Yeah, but there's no nudity. I mean, the girl who's the star of the movie, the chef, she plays a chef. She's hot, but the movie is filled with symbolism and...
all the stuff you like?
Yeah, all the stuff I hate. You know, when I watch a movie, I want to be hit over the head with it. You know what I mean? I don't want to have to try to figure out the layer upon layer upon layer.
Right.
So I'm giving her all the subtle signs I can, like going... And she just look over, we're sitting in the same chair. She'll look over at me, and I keep waiting for her to give me a pass on this. She won't. So finally, when I think I can stand it no more, I said to her, "Come on, this movie sucks. You're just watching this movie because you don't want to be the first to say it, but I'll say it. The movie sucks." And she says, "No, the movie's excellent." I said, "Listen, I really want to have sex, but I can't stand to watch this movie."
Was it subtitles or was it dubbed?
No, it was not even dubbed. It was
really?
I think they were speaking English.
Wow. Oh, really?
I said, "I can't stand to watch one more minute of this movie."
Were their lips moving funny and then they'd say, "I really want you to have
this." No, they were speaking American.
Wow.
They were speaking English. So I said, I look at my watch, I said, "Wow, I logged 35 minutes with this movie. I've given it my best effort. I'm sorry, I can't watch it anymore." And she says, "Okay, do what you want." And I thought, okay. So I laughed, and I got on the computer, did my stuff, went upstairs, got ready for bed. She came up for bed. I put my move on her, and this is what I received. I made my move, and all I heard was, "No." Was just a simple one word, very cold. I mean, I could almost see the frost. It was 85 degrees in our bedroom, but I could almost see the frost coming out of her mouth, and she says,
"You didn't honor the agreement."
That's right.
And did she come around at all?
Mm-mm.
Oh, dear.
Mm-mm.
Oh, well.
No.
She's a strong-willed woman.
She is a woman of her word.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was mighty cold. Even though it was like 100 degrees, that was mighty cold in that bedroom.
Chilly sheep.
Yeah. Imagine that.
Hey, good name for a radio person.
It's a chilly sheep.
That's a good name for a radio person.
Hey, thanks, Jimmy. With a 5 o'clock whistle, baby. We're here for the weekend. Weekend chilly sheep. No, it hasn't Louisiana. She did make it up to me the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
But,
nice.
But that night I was, as I lay there in bed,
right.
I was really pissed and really feeling disturbed, dumped, distressed. Every word you can think of that's bad that starts with D, I was just sitting there going, and thinking, I wish I had the guts to say something to her. I wish I had the guts to tell her what I think.
Right.
But I didn't. I just sat there and kind of gnashed my teeth. I thought, well, that's fine. You turn me down. You turn me down. I'm thinking of this. You turn me down for sex. You wait till the next time you want. I'm not going to give it to you. Can you do this to me right before I go to bed? I'm up here waiting for you. And you say, no. How can you do this to me? And I went to bed. I was really pissed. Then the next morning, I woke up and she said, well, are you ready? And I was like, yeah.
Sure.
Hi there. Hey, buddy, pal.
Yes, no discipline whatsoever.
Friend.
No grudge holding on your part.
My friend.
Friend.
Friend. Friend. Frida, friend.
Oh, boy, don't think about him when you're having sex.
So do you mean Frankenstein or Steve Goldstein?
Steve Goldstein, both.
Steve Goldstein.
Both full-size candy bars.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thanks.
Good. Hey, Don, I got suckered into that piece of crap, too.
What,
it was horrible.
Woman on top?
Yeah. I got suckered into it because on the video box, it was lots of steamy sex.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, the chick is hot, but there was no steamy sex, no nudity. The movie sucked.
So
and it was made in Brazil, but half of it was based here in San Francisco.
Mm. Yeah, because she leaves her husband when she finds out her husband's cheating on her. She goes to San Francisco. She becomes a chef in a culinary school. And that's
right, and wasn't her roommate hot?
Oh, okay. All right, listen, thank you. This will describe how bad this movie is.
Right.
When she gets to San Francisco, her roommate, who she wants to shack up with, is not there. So she has to wait for her roommate to get out of jail. Her roommate is a guy who dresses like a girl.
Oh.
So they show this guy who gets out of prison, and he goes, hey, where's my stuff? He's a brother. He goes, where's my stuff at? And they give him this bag of stuff, and he, like, puts on these bracelets and stuff. And the next scene, he's in the bathtub with this chick. Now, you can't see anything because she's got bubbles over her boobs.
Right.
He's in the bathtub with her, and he's talking in his man voice, but he's wearing
lipstick and eyeshadow and all that.
Yeah, really. Disturbing.
Really?
Disturbing, I thought it was.
But you couldn't stick with it.
Very bad movie.
Horrible movie.
Awful. All right. Thank you, my friend.
You guys have a good one.
Thank you.
Unless there's someone out there agrees with me.
You know, deceptive advertising, too, when you're a woman on top.
It is.
Right. Well, see, the premise of the movie was that her husband cheated on
her. From what I've heard, the premise of the movie should be your sex life at home.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember. I do my homework.
Yes, Frida's always on top.
Woman on top.
Mm-hmm. The guy who was married to the girl, he had to go bang someone else because his wife always demanded that she would be on top when they had sex.
Okay, but no nudity then.
No nudity.
Oh, come on.
And no real scenes of real sex. Not even any nip or anything.
Really?
Yeah, nothing.
Well, it seems to me that, you call a movie Woman on Top, you always have a little nudity.
Yeah, come on. Don and my show.
And one of the biggest fringe benefits with that particular position is at least a little bouncy.
My choice is changed to a whole new movie, Bacon. Women with Mop. That's how you know. That's a good movie. That portrays women the right way.
Yeah, with women with mop without air conditioning.
Hello, washing dishes by hand.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, how are you?
Great, thanks.
Hey, I'm pretty sure that you can't do the same shot twice at horse.
You're pretty sure that you can't?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, man. You get a letter on someone, you can't do that same shot again.
All right, well, that's what
you're shot from the corner, man. You can't do that.
That's what my kid said.
You can't do it.
All right. Well, I thought, like Mike did, that if you got one shot, you could just keep killing him.
That would defy the whole point, though.
Sounds like the guy that was on Northern Exposure, but when he played the role in the movie, The $64,000 Question. Remember the quiz show?
Right.
That's what he sounds. That's who's good.
I'm pretty sure.
Hell,
it's a different shot.
Oh, the guy who was who had the bad Massachusetts accent.
How's that for obscure? I'm trying to be as obscure as I possibly can.
But I'm with you. What does that say for me?
You know, because the tone of the guy in Quiz Show.
Rob Morrow.
Am I right, Rob? The guy in Quiz Show, his tone is always like that. I'm pretty sure.
Very little.
You're effed on this one. You cheated there.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thanks.
We're fine. How are you?
What can we do for you?
Hey, did you see that special America Undercover after
Sopranos
last night?
Oh, Jesus Christ. That's
have
the most disturbing thing I've ever seen in my life.
You know, and I was the payoff at the end, I was hoping he would push the guy's wheelchair off the, off the pier at the end, and then the guy just died. The guy was all feebed out and died.
Yeah, I mean, they lead you to believe this guy's either going to be dead or, he's going to be in jail. And what happened, the guy just waited to put the movie out until the guy died.
Yeah, but really, I mean, it just goes, how effed up was that family? Did you see this after The Sopranos?
No.
This guy is a child molester that it molested. How many women?
Oh, God.
Was it what, like 10 women or something like that? I mean, just.
I think it was one of the sons, too.
One of the sons, he went and he was a stepfather to all these girls when they were little girls. I mean, ages tiny all the way up. Molested them, then divorced the mother, moved on to another family, and molested all of them.
Same thing again.
And the whole documentary is this guy's grandson who, finds out about this, has this rage, and finally confronts the guy. And he said, I was either going to kill him or make sure he spent the rest of his life in jail. Well, one of these two things were happening. And then the guy dies of old age at the end.
Chester the molester, you mean?
Chester the molester dies of old age, and there's really no payoff at all. And you've gone through it. And I mean, this is a long document. It's over an hour of documentary.
Wow.
And you're watching these horrible stories. They finally interview the guy, and the guy's like, I'm going to knock the dog ass out of you. He's talking to his grandson, okay? I mean, this gives a little picture as to whether the guy was legitimately a bad guy. He's saying, I'll get out of this wheelchair. You'll see how I can do. I'll knock the dog ass out of you.
Chester the molester who's saying this?
Talking to his grandson.
Okay.
And
what about his son?
Aaron
asked his sister to move in with him.
Well,
basically be his wife.
When we were working with Child Help, I think it was the abused children,
sure.
And we learned about this cycle that it goes around, and they have one of the sons of this guy, and he actually asked one of his half-sisters to come live with him and have sex with him and didn't think there was anything wrong with that. This was, without question, it was really a tragedy. This is the most effed-up family I have ever seen in my life. And at the very end, you think, well, this great Satan who has ruined all of these lives is either going to get pushed into the, off the pier, or they're going to extradite him and try him because he also, along the way, he also murdered a nurse. Yeah, he's a really, really good guy.
But there's no such payoff.
At the end, all of a sudden, they're cruising along, and you're thinking something's going to happen where they're going to get him back to California to try him for the murder of this nurse. And you said, well, something finally did happen. And they're in a cemetery, and you see this guy.
Chester the molester.
Chester the molester died of like, old age. And it was
and that's the end of the show? This is the end?
And they roll the credits. And,
well, they had his family dancing on his grave. I mean, they did everything except take the pants down and take a leak on it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I also thought it was like, I felt like justice really wasn't served.
Yeah. Well, then it was two disappointments for you last night, because you said you didn't like The Sopranos either.
I thought it was the worst Sopranos in the whole time I've been watching The Sopranos. I thought it was the most boring, depressing.
I disagree.
I thought it sucked.
I think they're setting stuff up. I think that you got to have Tony sucking face with Ben's lady at the zoo, because she's going to go nutty on him. You know that.
I agree they have to set stuff up, but I also think you do it in moderation. There was way too much of Tony in the love scenes. Tony is not. James Gandolfini is a fine actor. He is not a romantic lead. I don't want to see him chewing on that lady's ear. It grosses me out.
No, you gotta do it because you gotta show how in love Tony is with her for the moment, because 2 weeks from now, or maybe on the next episode, he's going to get tired of her, he's going to turn on her.
You know, I didn't tell you this in the office. The other guy I hate is the new kid, Meadows' boyfriend. I don't like him.
Jackie Jr.?
He doesn't bring anything. He's just a good-looking guy.
But he's
that's
so
like,
stupid.
And
he's great.
He's so stupid, but he doesn't bring anything to the table,
Nah.
He doesn't have any personality.
Now they're going to bring it out on him.
Ralphie has personality.
Well, Ralphie gave Junior a gun last night.
I think if they're going to make Jackie Jr. this
Godfather wannabe, you got to make him a little bit, have just a little bit more of a swagger. And instead he...
Give him a chance. All he's doing now is dealing acts.
So bored. And then back into the, you know, back in... When Dr. Melfi and the new ho from the Mercedes dealership were talking together, I was just... When they went to that, I mean, it was just like, come on.
Oh, you know what?
Give me a little mafia stuff.
It's just, they're setting it up. I know they're setting it up. They got five episodes left.
Yeah.
I would bet...
I hope they get better than last night.
The next five will be killer, no pun intended, and I think they're setting it up like a who shot JR, and they're going to make all these different people who want to kill Tony, you know, for whatever reason, and I bet someone gets a shot off at him at the end.
Also, you know, I'm into this mafia stuff, and I read about it, and it's just, it speaks to a little bit of credibility, too. When there's some stuff that's been happening on The Sopranos, like, I understand, like, when Tony had the Russian girl that he would take down to the boat, it was just a little more... believable. This whole thing with the Mercedes lady out in public, you know, and he does one little look around, like out on the main drag. You know, he's supposed to be this guy that's on TV that everybody knows who he is. It lacks a little credibility.
You know who wrote last night's episode?
Who?
Your buddy Christopher.
Michael Imperioli.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go. There you go. There's the problem.
I didn't think it was that bad.
How did you feel about the dragnet scene in the pizza parlor with the police officers investigating?
I thought it was shot terribly. I thought it was...
Guys, Jesus Christ, it's a TV show.
Yeah, I know.
It was an enjoyable...
It's not a TV show, Don. It is the TV show.
It was an enjoyable hour of television.
It was, you know, the standards that show, as far as entertainment value, that just, you know, it's better than a lot of TV shows. But last night, compared to the other episodes, you know, I know they're setting stuff up, but I was like, you know, every week on The Sopranos, you get at least one... real, like, whoa moment. And they didn't have one last
night. Okay, so they had one episode last night.
You know what it was? You know what the whoa moment was? The kids trashing the pool area. That was the whoa moment. It was like, is that all there is?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Maybe it takes a bit more intellect to watch The Sopranos and not simply want to watch someone get whacked every single week.
It's a mafia show. I like the other thing.
It's a character show. They've done this on purpose. It's more of a soap opera now than it used to be.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's not a good thing.
But that's a direction they've taken the show. You either embrace it, you roll with it, or you... You know, what else is on at 9 o'clock on Sunday night?
I will continue to watch The Sopranos, but my point is, it is too much of a soap opera, and they got to be careful with that. They got to remember their roots, and they got to remember what that show is all about. That show is all about crime figures, mafia guys. I want more Paulie Walnuts. I want more Tony and Bada Bing. Get me out of that effing doctor's office.
The doctor is important, though.
Dr. Melfi.
The doctor has always been important, and now the subplot is,
like,
of course, the doctor really loves Tony.
Right.
The doctor knows that Tony is banging the Benz girl. The doctor knew when Tony talks the Zen Buddhism crap that he's been with her. The doctor's on the phone with her son saying, I can't believe
it. Well, you know what?
Patients.
If they're going to do that, it's going to be more like Dynasty and less like The Sopranos, because it's like Tony's a mafia guy. Mafia guys have the gumares that are like the hoes that are strippers.
Give it the rest of the week.
Well, I'm going to watch it.
Give it the rest of the year. Give it the next five.
Of course. I would never bail. I'm just telling you that I felt as disappointed by that. I found myself, it's the first time ever that I'm watching The Sopranos, and about halfway through, I'm like, oh, jeez. Hey,
they've had lots of episodes like that.
But they've always been a little better than last night.
I enjoy just watching Tony in his house.
You can give me Tony at his house all day long. You could do a whole episode with Tony in his bathrobe.
There was a lot of Tony in the house when Tony's sitting down eating the cannolis.
There's a lot of Tony at the Mercedes dealership, like, chewing on her ear. Tony, like, at the, at the zoo.
Okay, what they're doing is they're setting it up so that when Tony tires of her, she will either kill him, stalk him, do something awful to his family.
I agree with you there.
Or kill herself.
We were talking about that in the office when she starts playing with the gun, and also the fact that she has, been in these relationships.
Suicidal tendencies with her last relationship.
It's almost maybe they're rushing him. I mean, maybe they gave me too much of that. You know, I wouldn't mind having little pieces of that. That's what I like. I like it when The Sopranos gives you just a little taste of all these different plot lines, and then something happens. It was almost like, I agree with you, they were trying to set it up, but they were trying a little too hard. They were laying
playing too much.
Well, maybe it's because they realize, Jesus Christ, we only got five shows left.
You know, that might be true. It might be true. I just hope they go back to...
We've got to introduce this Mercedes-Benz girl. We've got to have Tony fall in love with her. We've got to have Tony...
You know what's great about The Sopranos? The moment in The Sopranos that I enjoyed, the single most enjoyable moment, Paulie Walnuts sitting in front of the tube talking about the reproductive habits of snakes. That, I'm laughing out loud when he's going, you know, so basically, they can F themselves.
They're hermaphrodites.
Right. It was hysterical.
And Tony stole the line and used it when he was... effing the girl in the snake cage there at the zoo.
It's going to be interesting to see because they did set up a lot of stuff. I'd never give up on The Great Sopranos. I just want to see a little more Goodfellas, a little less Dynasty.
Well, that's listen, it's whoever that freaking creative genius is, the guy
David Chase.
Yeah, the guy that makes up the show every week. This
but you know what?
It's the best show on TV.
The thing out of this whole thing, as far as five episodes, they probably do. They probably had to they get a little behind. They got to cram all that stuff in, so because there will be some blow up with this psycho woman.
Yeah.
She is starting to paint the picture.
And there will be something
woman.
With Christopher and being as he bought Adriana the club.
Yeah, and they have the Jackie Jr. who's gonna get a gun from Ralphie.
The other subtle thing that I can't believe you didn't pick up on. When
I might have. I just we haven't talked about
when the Crazy Horse opened.
Mm-hmm.
When she introduced the band.
Mm-hmm.
When they panned to the crowd. Arthur Bucco,
I did see that.
Was dancing in the crowd.
Arthur Bucco is right on the rebound now.
Left his wife.
Yeah, Arthur Bucco's having
He's going to be a player in the last five episodes also.
Yes. And, Ralphie's wife. Also, Ralphie's wife is a character that I enjoy watching. She is such a... Were they the two...
I'd be happy if they killed her.
Bitchiest women when they were sitting in there, Oh, I would too. When they're sitting in that restaurant and he brings over the specialty and they... Could they whine anymore?
Tastes like mozzarella.
I know.
Tastes like mozzarella.
But I'm ready for, a little more action.
No, it'll happen. Yeah. It's still the best show.
Yeah.
It is still the best show. We agree on that.
Still the best show. Even if it was... And I didn't think last night was riveting, but the character development, I don't mind it.
Yeah.
And I like the subplots. I like when you just see a glimpse of Artie Bucco dancing in the crowd.
Yes. Well, give me the character development. But then, instead of showing Furio just walk the guy off screen with a gun, show me what Furio did to the guy.
Well,
Furio
kicked the guy in the
ball. Yeah, we see the guy, but they did it like you'd see it on on some
NBC or
daytime drama. You see Furio walk away with the gun, and then all of a sudden, like almost a comedy, you see the guy in this Three Stooges get up in the hospital.
His broken arm.
They didn't do that last year. Right. What they did last year was you would see it in its all of its kind of mafia horror, and now you see the guy and like, can you hear me? The thing I have to pin. It was weird. It was different. Maybe it's that Christopher guy.
I liked it. Yeah, maybe so. Who knows? All right, that's the Sopranos update. What did you think, Bobo? Did you like it or not?
I thought it was not good. I think eight episodes into the year, they should have something happen by now.
Everybody's so goddamn demanding.
Well, you were probably clouded by your your knowledge that you were going to get sex later.
We got a break, Charlie?
Okay.
Charlie Broyhill, let me ask you what you thought of what'd you think of The Sopranos?
Did you watch it?
When's it on?
He's so out of the loop. Have you ever watched The Sopranos?
I think one time when Jimmy was still living at the house, it may have been on for a little while. I was making a CD or laundry or just sitting in my own issue.
Could you identify James Gandolfini?
Yeah, I can identify him. I know who he is.
All right, you're not that out of it, though.
I just like hearing Charlie say sitting in his own issue.
So the lady from New Bus is here.
She is.
Are the girls here to be measured?
Some of them are.
Okay, great. Well, then we'll get to that. And I think probably all these people are calling about the goddamn Sopranos, right? Am I right?
Sure.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hey, that Sopranos, there was one of the best lines of all time in that show last night.
What?
When they're standing in front of the baboons, and he's talking about all the nasty things he wants to do to her, and then she brings up the, have you ever brought your family to the Bronx Zoo? And he says goodbye. Looks over his shoulder.
Oh, yeah, there goes my hard-on.
Yeah. What was that? Who are you talking to? Well, there goes my heart on.
Yeah. That was good.
Yeah, it was good. It grossed me out though.
Yeah.
Because it's Tony like banging the whole
thing. Why do you have a problem with Tony's sexuality?
It grosses me out. Seeing him do that, it's just I like Tony in his bathroom.
Hold on.
Tony when he's like.
You liked it a couple of weeks ago when Tony was getting his knob polished though.
When Tony is in that. When he's in that
grabbing her by the hair and pulling her head down there.
Which, you mean the one where they were all back in that back room?
The one you watched with your mom. That's true, the one you watched with your mom.
No, I did not enjoy that. Let me tell you something right now. That was I wanted to like be in three states away when that was on.
I agree with Mike. I like when they played James Gandolfini as the unlikely sex symbol, like in the wife beater t-shirt.
Yes.
I think he's funny that way.
When you see
him as really attractive.
You see him cuddling with this woman like he's this, you know, he's this romantic.
God
it's
damn
gross.
It, guys, don't make me sound like Dino De Laurentiis here or some, but they are simply setting you up for something that's going to happen next week.
No.
Next,
set me up without seeing him, like, put his tongue in her ear.
No, next week, you're going to see him take a hammer to her head or something. You will see, you will see the polar opposite of what you saw this week.
Well, it's just, I find those scenes, those romantic, intimate, it's not the sex scenes as much as the when Harry met Sally Crender.
They're doing that because next week, I guarantee you're going to get the opposite.
I like Tony Scumati to be, like, more just, you know, it's just the sex.
Ahua?
Ahua.
Ahua. Ahua. Ahua.
See, because I think in a way I wanna like Tony more.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
I think you're missing a bigger issue there with the Mercedes girl.
What's that?
I think she's a snitch for the FBI.
Oh, no, freaking away.
No.
Oh, I'm telling you.
No, she's a dumb whoa.
The way she took him to the zoo, it's classic.
No, she's not. She's not.
No. It's classic.
She is not an.
Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. When they're in the motel, after that, when she made a comment to him last night that said something like, "I know everything. You can tell me." She went out of her way to say, "Hey, you can share everything with me. I know the deal." Remember when she made that kind of statement last night? So, I mean, I wouldn't say that there's that might be impossible.
But she has a history with Melfi. I mean, they wouldn't have planted her with Melfi's like years ago.
But she's a nut job.
Yeah, right.
That she's a nut job.
Maybe she's at Melfi's.
Oh, please.
You never know.
This is back to the guy on the steps.
Hello.
You never know.
Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how are you doing?
Hey, and wasn't Big Pussy on last night, just for a second again?
In the preview.
Upcoming episode, right.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
When Carm and the other lady were having dinner, you know, she that's actually Jackie Jr.'s mother.
Right. Yeah, that's the widow of Real.
Right.
Yeah, she's not actually married to Guido, the killer pimp. I think.
Yeah, Ralph's just the live-in boyfriend.
Yeah, well, right.
Okay, same difference. I did like, you know what? Another great scene. Now that we keep talking about it, I keep remembering. Ralph making the spaghetti, showing Jackie Jr. how to put the gravy in with the butter, 45 seconds. And then putting the little Godfather there, where he put the gun in the bread box.
Yeah. Dinner's ready.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don.
Yes.
You remember yesterday when they were in the zoo and Tony flinched when she said, "Oh, poor you."
Oh, poor you.
No, I don't remember that.
Oh, well, she did say that, and he visibly flinched when she said it, because she said it exactly like his mother would have.
Then he nuzzled the neck tenderly. he held her hand in his hands tenderly. People want to buff.
I don't know why you won't appreciate Tony the Lover.
I don't see that. That's what it comes down to.
Tony the Lover.
That's what it comes down to. Really, I can't.
And the other problem last night, no Uncle June and no Bobby Bacala.
Right on.
And I really like to see a little Uncle June.
Okay. And you know what? You would ask a question about his stomach. The guy's
in
stomach with the
I asked, actually.
Cigar Aficionado, you have your copy of Cigar Aficionado at home.
Yes.
I don't think he posed for a picture in Cigar Aficionado with a fake stomach.
Yeah, the guy
that is something.
The guy who takes care of Uncle Junior, that's his real stomach.
That's phenomenal. I mean, that is a phenomenal protruding stomach.
That's why they had the letterbox it this year.
Okay, thank you. Everybody, please, all of you, shut up. It's a great show.
Shut up. Shut up. Shut up.
Shut up.
Harry Mansali.
We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike. This is Furio Giunta from The Sopranos. I never listen to you. Goodbye.
Time for another spoof. So here's Don and Mike.
All right, it's time for breasts.
Breasts, give it to you.
Angela Harris is here. She, of course, has come up with a product, the new breast. You heard about that on the show about a new bus.
New bus.
You heard that on the show about a month ago. We talked about this all-natural herbal pill that you take to make your boobs bigger.
Hi, Angela.
And she's back.
Don, you didn't meet Don the last time you were here.
Hi there.
Don was actually in getting breast enlargement surgery with you.
Hi there. I think you'll find things are a little different with me here.
That's right.
Hi there.
I hear.
Hi.
Good.
Get ready to not have an infomercial today.
Okay. Oh, come on now. We had a wonderful time the last time he was here. What are you talking about?
I am kidding.
Okay. I take that as an insult. I thought we had a very good time. I didn't think it was an infomercial.
I was kidding her. I was not kidding you.
Okay. All right.
I was kidding her.
So how big are your boobs?
Big enough. They're about a C.
About a C.
But they were an A, really.
The A.
Hey.
Now they're a C.
Right. And by the way, how are you feeling?
I feel much better, thank you. Yes, I do.
Brought you some herbs.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Kidney herbs?
Kidney herbs.
Kidney herbs.
Kidney herbs.
Kidney herbs.
Kidney herbs.
Kidney herbs.
Well, now this is going to be exciting for me because I didn't see the majority of these women before, right?
I think you will be pleased. The woman that came in the day we brought all the women in to get measured and actually, you know, get the final measurements are strong-looking ladies, to say the very least.
And they've all been taking your product for a month. How much do you think they'll see, these six women that are coming in today, how much growth do you think they'll have seen in 30 days?
Some of them will see an inch or so. It's not like popping fresh dough, you know. It doesn't just happen overnight, but certainly they should see, the majority of them should see some growth.
I walked through the lobby and there was giggling. I don't know whether that's a good
thing. Some of them waited 2 weeks before they started the product, so even they will probably even see a little bit of growth.
Oh, great. Okay, well, now here's the spot for your plug for your product, New Bust.
What's that?
I didn't know you guys. We were advertising.
Well, whatever. I mean, you can do whatever you want.
Do you want a plug?
Oh, you mean me? Okay.
Yeah, do you want a plug?
Sure.
Okay, go ahead.
It's New Bust. I didn't know that, I didn't even know it was possible for women's breasts to grow naturally until a gal came to me. She had some infertility problems. She couldn't get pregnant. So I mixed up a formula for her, and 3 months later, she came back. She wasn't pregnant yet, but her breast had grown from an A cup to a C cup in 3 months.
Wow.
Whoa. And your phone number is?
800-731-9910.
Beautiful.
He's not that mean.
No.
Don't worry. You keep looking at me like, and with your thing, was it okay? Well, there's a dynamic going on here. I'm not sure exactly what's going on, but I mean, the last time we were here, you were talking about you're an herbologist, and then when you came in and said you think, I think things will be different with me here. I mean, I know there's a little. He's very nice, and you can promote your product. That's what I'm trying to say.
You want a plug?
Yeah, I don't think she. I think she's a little nervous. I think she's a little taken aback.
Are you nervous? What are you nervous about?
I'm always nervous. On the air.
Well, don't be nervous. Don't be nervous. If Mike makes you more comfortable, slide next to mine.
No.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you? No, but when we were here the last time, I'll bring you up to speed on the last time we were here, it was that she's an herbologist and she did it through curing your own cancer, right? That's how you did
it? Right, that's how I started.
And by accident came up with this formula and the woman went from an A to a C cup and that's how the whole thing started.
Women were lined up around the block waiting for this formula. I would have never promoted it. I'm not a media person, but people came to me to promote it. And so I really started working with implant victims or victims who had horrible things due to implants that happened to them. And so I think it's kind of informational campaign for me, really. I think that this women need to know they have options.
Well, I think we need to know if this woman's breasts have grown.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And here's the first contestant now. You gotta bring me up to speed.
I don't remember all the contestants. Enter and sign in, please.
Hi.
Hello there.
What's your name?
Please. Now, do we have Lisa or Charlie? Do we keep a record, Rob, of exactly what the vitals were?
Yeah,
Lisa, do we have a record of, like, what they were when they came in the last time?
You got your tape measure, Lisa?
Yeah, ready now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're ready now. Ready to strip down and measure. Now, your name is Lisa also? Let me ask you, do you think your breasts have grown?
Have not, no.
You don't think they have?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
Mm-hmm. Do they feel any bigger when you touch them?
Nope. How are you doing with that time of the month and things like that? Are you feeling better? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling better. Matter of fact, the cramps are gone.
Yeah.
I normally get really bad cramps.
That is one thing about this, is it kind of balances all of the women's hormones, so they don't suffer so much with you know, PMS and painful periods and problems like that. So that kind of goes away, too, which is good for guys, too, because, you know, when we suffer, you suffer.
Yeah, but I'm into the big boobs.
Yeah, that's right. You don't care if they're in bed 1 week out of the month.
Now, Lisa's got the you got the list of everybody that that we measured.
Now, what was she before? Our Lisa, not the lady who's in the contest here. Lisa, what was she before?
31 and a half inches across the nipples.
Okay, so that's teeny.
That's small.
That's teeny. Sorry about that, Lisa.
All right.
I mean the Lisa who's in the contest.
Very pretty, though. Very pretty girl.
Yes. Now, what are you, Chinese, Japanese?
Vietnamese.
What are you, Japanese?
Vietnamese.
Oh, Vietnamese. Okay.
I'm trying to remember the last time you were here. They look a little bigger to me, actually.
Generally, the stereotype is that Asian chicks don't have
big breasts.
Big jugs.
Right. Mm. That is stereotype.
31 and a half inches.
And what was the last time?
31 and a half inches.
Okay, so she said that she hasn't grown.
Right. And that is generally an okay thing because it's been only about a month. But sometimes it takes a while, and it does work on about 80% of the women. So.
All right. Okay, that's contestant number one.
And once again, here's Charles Broyle with his camera in the back of the room. This is his new calling.
He is so enthusiastic about this job. I don't think I've ever seen anyone more enthusiastic, especially Charlie, who's normally unenthusiastic about everything else that he does.
About everything. Last week with the girls with the bananas.
Yes.
He was in the studio on the floor taking their pictures.
Amateur photographer. That's really
you liked them, didn't you? This could go on forever.
Good job.
All right, do we have another girl we can meet in this break?
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, listen, Lisa, now will you continue taking the product for the next 2 months?
Yes, I will.
You will?
All right.
And what?
You feel good?
Yeah, that's okay.
Good.
How big, ideally, would you like them to be?
Well, she went from an A to C. I would like to go to a C as well.
A C?
Yeah.
A C. And you're an A now still?
Hey.
All right, well, we will see you, I guess, right before Memorial Day.
Hey.
Okay, thanks for coming by. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
All right, so not, you know, after 1 month. Do you have anybody that, like, after a month really has a...
Oh, yeah. All right, we have definitely seen it. Some we do not. Some we don't see till the second or third month. But truly, I mean, a lot of them we do see the first month.
Okay.
All right, let's bring in the next girl.
Yeah.
Well, hi there, Daisy Duke.
Hello.
Hi, what's your name?
Jessica.
Hi, Jessica. When you came before, the day that I wasn't here, what size was she, Lisa?
34.
34. And what was your cup size then?
Yeah, 34 inches.
34 inches.
31 below the boob.
Right.
And what is she, about an A, do you think?
I think so, an A. Are you an A?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Now, do you think, before we measure, do you think there's been any growth happening?
Maybe just a little bit. I started taking it a little bit late, so maybe I'll catch up.
You went in to the doctor to make sure it was okay.
Right.
And so you waited 2 weeks. So she's been taking about two weeks.
Okay, so only 2 weeks on the pills.
Right. And
on your meds.
Maybe a little bit in 2 weeks. So that's not bad.
Really? Okay. Well, take your shirt off, please.
Fascinating.
Your favorite words to say?
Yes.
Oh, I remember you now.
Oh, right. She's got an earring hanging.
A little pierced nipple on the left one.
Mm-hmm. And here we go. Here's Lisa with the measuring. Careful, Lisa. Right over the nipple, please.
There we go. My favorite part.
And let's see. What is it?
34.
And what was it before?
34.
34.
It's been about 2 weeks, almost 3 weeks.
That's two girls exactly the same.
So how are you doing? I mean, how do you feel?
Feeling fine.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any tingling or tenderness or anything that's going on?
I do.
Yeah,
right now, as a matter of fact.
They're working for you then, no?
Tingling and tenderness.
Hold on, it's time for the picture taking.
And Charlie Broyhill now feels tingling and tenderness.
And see, just flash. Now, what are you doing?
The flash didn't work, Charlie.
You're cropping the girls' faces off? Is that
That's
what you're
correct.
Doing? So this is just breast shot.
Right.
Okay.
Very good. He's up there on one knee.
Look at him.
Johnny Photographer.
There's a flash.
All right. Okay.
To me, that's the funniest part is Charlie taking the pictures. See, Norman doesn't like getting involved in anything on the show.
That's 2 weeks in a row now that he's gone absolutely nuts. Well, you've only been on the product for two, three weeks?
Right.
All right, well, are you gonna keep taking it?
Oh, yeah.
All right, very good.
How many a day are you taking now?
Four, twice a day.
Oh, just take eight.
Yeah,
eight's a hassle, though.
Like, eight pills is a hassle.
Wow.
All right, well, thank you. One more? Okay, bring her in.
Sure, bring the next girl in.
Thank you. Now, are you, when these girls come in and they're virtually the same after a month, Do you feel any pressure?
No.
Or are you sure that by next month when they come in, they'll have some growth?
I know that whatever they're taking, it's really, really good for them. I mean, the herbs they're taking are very high in nutrients, and it's going to do them good no matter what. And really, we found that it only works for about 80% of the women, so it doesn't concern me. But I know, I think especially, well, at least one of those gals will be growing, I'm sure.
Really? Because they are both flat. I mean, they were both real cute girls, but yeah. Flat-chested.
All right. Hello.
Hi, Red.
Hello. How are y'all?
Hi, we're great. What's your name?
Amanda.
Hi, Amanda.
Hi.
You met Mike, obviously, the last time.
See what I meant about these women, though? They're a very good-looking group.
Yeah, no, they're very cute women.
Absolutely.
Very cute. Now, it looks to me like you have bigger boobs already than the other two girls.
I do have bigger boobs.
Do you have bigger boobs than the last time you were here?
Yes.
Oh,
okay.
My guy friends even noticed.
Really?
You're the one that you've heard all the jokes. Oh, yeah. My guy friends are in front of me. And then I was sitting there the other night, and I had on, like, a sports bra. I was, like, minimizing. And they're like, are you wearing a booby bra? And I was like, no. And they're like, damn.
No, damn is fine.
Damn, woman.
Okay.
Damn, girl. God damn. So, Lisa, what size was she when she was here before?
34.
34.
Okay, let's take your shirt off, please.
Let's measure. It's measuring time.
I have a drum roll.
Boy, you're really jacked up.
She's excited.
All right. Waiting to see something here.
Okay.
Nice, pretty bra she has on. Take the bra off.
No, definitely not 34.
Oh, yeah, very pretty.
Definitely.
Those are pretty breasts.
Very pretty.
It's not.
Well, I mean, what other compliment can you give? To say, wow, the beautiful, pretty.
There's no higher compliment.
Very pretty. Lisa?
38.
Wow!
So she's grown 4 inches?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
4 inches in a month.
Is that unbelievable? We will applaud that.
Whoa. That's amazing.
Whoa. 4 inches in a month. Now, what is your... You mentioned, what's your boyfriend think?
I don't have a boyfriend, actually.
You don't have a boyfriend?
That's surprising.
Who have you shown these off to?
Well, I haven't shown them to anyone, like, bare-breasted.
So we're the only ones? We're the only guys so far?
It's a privileged few.
Oh.
Privileged few. How can you not have a boyfriend? Look at you. Cute Nicole Kidman type. You got the red hair. You got that Irish look, right, Mike?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, Irish, yes.
They're too much trouble, Don.
What was your last serious relationship?
2.5 years ago.
You mean you haven't had a real, like, boyfriend-type person for 2.5 years?
No, and I like him.
Oh, my goodness.
You haven't ridden the baloney pony in 2.5 years?
I didn't say that.
Oh. When's the last time you got laid?
2 weeks ago.
Okay, so, so it's not...
But not a serious relationship?
Well, no, of course not.
Okay.
And these men that you meet to have these trysts with, where do you find them?
Oh, you know, the local watering hole.
All right, so, you know, she doesn't have a steady boyfriend, but...
Have you noticed since you've been, since your boobs have been growing, that things have changed a little bit? There's more interest?
You know, you guys probably won't understand this, but my last period or whatever, like, the cramping, it was, like, nothing. And I usually have to go home from work. It's so bad.
Wow.
It was, like, nothing. It was the best period I've ever had.
Okay, don't really care.
It's really normal.
Don't really care about that.
It's such a benefit as...
It's almost worth it. I mean, it's worth it.
Yeah.
Even if my boobs hadn't grown, I'd be really happy about that.
That's but when you go out, do guys now notice your boobs?
Yeah, because now I bounce a lot.
Very cool.
So when you went out and this last guy who you met, was he a stranger?
No, he was actually a friend.
Oh, so is he a regular guy?
He was. Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Because he did you, right?
Oh, exactly.
Okay.
Oh, the Black Widow. Yes, sir, he mate with me and then died.
So you went to a watering hole and you invited him to your watering hole.
That's one way to put it.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad, you know, she seems, Angela, she seems very happy.
She might have been the energy when I went through the lobby, the giggling. There was some happiness out there. So I guess, so it feels pretty good, right?
It feels good.
Okay. Now, how would you feel if you come in a month and your boobs are 4 inches bigger than this? Would that be okay?
That would be much better.
And a month after that, if you had a total growth of 12 inches.
That's a lot. That's a foot.
My breasts
have grown
a foot. My God, look at these. I can't stop them.
But would that make you happy?
It would.
It would. Okay.
I can't stand this. You know, it'd be like thinner, only with boobs.
Yeah, right.
You know, Stephen King novel. You know, stop growing.
Well, I believe Chandi needs to take your picture.
Okay.
Non-pornographic, strictly for educational purposes.
Okay.
No thanks.
So if he hates this job.
You can tell by the look on his face. He hates this job.
Stand against the wall.
With his phone.
Remove your shirt, please. Pardon me, close my eyes. What are you talking about?
You know, when you get this angle view, very, very nice.
Yeah.
And I remember you the last time. This is a significant improvement here.
Okay.
Have your nipples gotten any bigger?
No.
Are they more sensitive?
No.
They're not.
Are they the same, though? I mean, is sensitivity and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, that is the problem, really, with breast implants. Oftentimes, they have complete sensitivity. So it may be better for the guys, but oftentimes it's not as good for the girls.
So are you experiencing any singling right now?
No.
Why are you going to the back of the room?
Unlike all the guys in the room.
So shy.
Yeah.
Why are you going to the back of the room to put your shirt back on?
Just standing there with that shirt on.
I'm shy.
Let me ask you this. In your state before, when you were 4 inches smaller, have you ever been able to fitty tuck? Have you ever been able to fitty tuck with a man?
I've actually never done that. I've never even tried.
But now, would that be something you'd think about?
I would try it, yeah.
Yeah, see? Now that's... There's no better endorsement for your product right now, I guarantee.
Future men will now love you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, it was very nice seeing you. And congratulations on your 4 inches.
We look forward to checking your future progress.
I'm sure you do.
We do. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, that makes up for the first two.
Yes, it sure does.
Everybody's different. Some women will grow nothing for the third month, and then all of a sudden the third month, wow. And then some women are very healthy, and the first month, they're just ready. Their hormones balance, and they just grow. Some women, it takes a little while, but...
Well, Mike, you saw that girl's.
Yeah, I remember her. I remember them all when they come in. And the first two, you know, it to the naked eye. But I do remember her. She was flat-chested.
Oh, absolutely.
Really flat-chested when she came in here.
Yeah, nice one.
When I saw her, it was, you know, when I saw her from the front, it was different. When I saw her from the side, that's where, you know, it was a real difference in the look there.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
They're very
simply... Wonderful.
They're very pretty.
They're
pretty.
The most
I've ever seen grow in 1 month is 5 inches, but usually the typical, let me tell you, is only 1 to 2 inches in a month. So she's grown up.
So she's good, right?
Yeah, she's doing very
well. You want to put her in your catalog.
She's doing great.
All right.
Angela, your product is New Bust, and if anybody wants to order it, what's your phone number?
They can call 800-731-9910.
See, there's your free plug.
Yeah, and if they call and order, they can get my book, Naturally Beautiful Breasts. Without implants, for free. And you know what? If it doesn't work for them, because we know that there's about 20% of the women that it doesn't work for, we'll give them their money back.
Oh, well, now that's nice.
For sure, because you know what? At first, people thought, oh, this is snake oil. It's not real. But you know what? This really is a real thing.
Well, stand up. Let me take a look at you. I mean, if you don't mind.
Oh, I...
If you don't mind. Would you turn to your side, please? She has her shirt on.
I have my shirt on. I'm a mother of eight.
Are you really the mother of eight?
You're the mother of eight? One husband, one family. My oldest is 18. My youngest is one.
Oh, my God.
Wow. So you have eight? Applause, you've squeezed out eight children?
Yes. No, all single births, yes.
Then I imagine that after eight, your boobs are probably shriveled up like nothing, right?
You know what? This has been flapjacks. You know what? But these make your breasts stand up and be perky and say hello.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, stand up again. Now that I realize you've given birth to eight children.
Say hello again.
Children.
Yes. Yeah. Look at that. Well, now she has nice boobs.
Very perky.
I mean, I can't tell. She won't unbutton her shirt. Would you unbutton your shirt a little?
Oh, no. That's not my style.
Okay. All right, Angela.
Not my style.
Okay. But I can see that you have... A bigger boob.
Yeah.
Awesome. Oh, look at. See?
Mm-hmm.
Little cleavage there.
18 and one, huh?
18 and one. Wow. Clear. One, 7 girls and 1 boy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You must be Catholic, right?
No, I'm not. But you know what? We never thought we'd have this many children, but we can't imagine not having them. And we think we're finished, but we have a wonderful family.
Wow. Okay. Well, it's been nice. Charlie, there were more girls here, or what should I do?
I think there are more girls. There were more in the lobby,
yeah,
I think.
There are more girls here.
Okay, well, then we'll do a break. We'll come back, and fantastic, more girls will take off their shirts, and we will give them the old measurements.
Very, very cool.
With Angela Harris, who's had 8 kids
mm-hmm.
and still has beautiful breasts.
Hey.
Thanks to her product.
That's right.
We will be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Lake, the Don and Mike Show.
That's right. Their breasts. Big deal.
Barons of the Jizz is Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
We're back with Angela Harris. 1 month ago today, she
was in with a bunch of flat-chested women. Now, to hit the final five or six, how many girls did you guys look at that day?
I don't remember, Rob. What was the total number of women that we had in here? I don't remember off the top of my head.
Six, I believe.
Six total? No, I think we had more than
that. There was more. I was thinking there was like 13 or 14.
Yeah, I thought we had a bunch of them. We had a bunch of them, a parade of women.
And you ended up selecting these women based on the smallest taste.
No, these women were, most of them were small-chested. There were very few women that were even average. They were all smaller. And the thing that amazed me, and I kept saying this to you in the office, is they were, you know, good-looking women, as we have seen so far.
Yeah,
and,
no trolls.
You know, they want to have bigger boobs, and most of them want to do it without implants. So that's right. Why they're coming in here.
All right. Smart girls.
Angela's here. We were just talking about stripper boobs, incidentally.
And underdeveloped women that have implants and, you know, that they suffer from PMS.
Elisa, why are you covering up?
Because I'm cold. You know, I have no problem with that.
Hey, Lisa, let me ask you. Do you have any motivation now after seeing that last woman to maybe try the product?
Actually, you know what? I was trying on bathing suits over the weekend, looking at myself in the mirror, and I'm actually quite content.
Have you ever seen a woman like that, Angela? Look at when she talks about her breasts. She touches them.
I can't help it.
She fondles them. She cradles them.
Very comfortable.
Well, I'm not the only girl that I know who does that.
Even the gal who was just in here. The redhead.
Yeah.
She said that she finds herself at work grabbing her boobs because she can't believe it.
Well, when we're talking about breasts, it's, you know, it's an interesting subject. It's kind of a natural thing to want to do that.
Oh, sure.
I can relate.
I can relate. Come on.
Okay, now, what you're doing is not what she's doing.
I know, and I'm grossing myself out.
You're doing something totally different.
I am grossing myself out.
I'm in amazement.
And this is the same guy who a half hour ago was screaming he didn't want to see Tony Soprano doing anything romantic.
That's right. What I was doing was not romantic. It was raw. Rob doesn't know. Okay, it was for you, Rob.
Thank you, Mark.
All right, bring the next girl in, please, Lisa. Another one of our guinea pigs is here.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
No guarantee on how big her breasts have gotten. And I think that the pictures will be on www.donandmikefans.com.
Fantastic.
We'll have a link there, if not the actual pictures, where you can see without the faces.
Right.
You'll be able to see the girls. Hi there. What's your name?
Cheryl.
Hi, Cheryl. Nice to meet you.
You met me before.
When did I meet you before?
Like the first time I was here.
Oh, she. Oh, see, we had some women come in advance.
Early right. Interviews.
Sorry about that.
Okay. How are you doing?
Okay. That's very thoughtful. Interesting energy there.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, step up to the microphone a little bit more, Cheryl.
So should I take it off?
Yeah. Well, what was your? Wait, let's get your stats before. What were you before, Cheryl? Do you remember?
31.
Have you noticed progress?
I think so. I think they're a little bit more fuller. I'm not sure if I've actually grown, but they do feel fuller and, like, heavier.
That is, for some women, they fill up at the top. They don't really grow, but they, you know, they don't have that saggy top at the top part.
I know. That's why I'm taking the product.
Yeah, they fill up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You want full.
I want full. Blip. But I don't want saggy.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
No, be honest. I don't want saggy.
I understand. But Don doesn't want saggy. Yeah, well, I mean, I want to look pretty for you when I'm doing this show.
You're a pretty girl. And you do.
Thank you very much.
You look pretty.
I appreciate that.
Well, yes, please take your shirt off.
Okay.
Please hang. Please. Please, for goodness sakes, take your shirt off.
Lovely little black brassiere.
Wow.
Boy, now I remember you. You have filled out.
Damn.
You filled out a lot. You undersold it. You're a modest person, aren't you? Because you definitely undersold it. Do you remember her?
I remember.
Dare I say this? The perfect nipples?
Yes. Yes, bravo.
Thank you.
Really? Look at that.
Whatever the measurement is, the look is different.
Will you turn to the side, please?
The look is different, yeah.
Look at from the side.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Let me just... You know what this is?
Yes.
This is an eraser head.
It's been worn down, Don, though. It's been worn down to the nub. Find one that's fuller.
You need a fresh one. Fuller, firmer.
I don't have a fresh one.
I understand the illustration you're about to
Her see. Nipple, though, is bigger and fuller and rounder than this eraser head was with its prime.
Which I think means more applause.
Yes.
Bravo.
Amen.
Yeah. Yes. You know what? It's almost like a preschool pencil eraser. You know, the bigger pencils for smaller hands?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not approaching the kind of eraser that you actually place over the pencil.
No.
No.
But I know what you're talking about. Maybe the red number two pencils.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I am getting such an education, you guys.
Wow, she's got some nice looking breasts.
This is a difference, and this is it's subtle, but it's noticeable. Were your nipples this big before?
Remember you said something about I had big nipples before.
I did? Yeah.
I don't
yeah.
think they're that big.
No, they're very nice.
There's nothing wrong with having big nipples.
Now, what do we have an increase there, Lisa?
What's her current size, Lisa?
She was 31, and now she's 32.
That's an inch.
One inch.
One inch, but wow.
Are you sure?
Okay.
That doesn't seem right.
It doesn't seem right? Yes, check again.
Please. Please do.
Take your time, Lisa.
32.
So it is only one.
Mm-hmm.
Time for a photo.
Which is typical. The one inch is usually typical. Tell me how you're feeling.
Oh, I'm feeling pretty good. I don't have PMS as much.
Less you PMS. Know, I'm telling you guys, that is a benefit for you guys.
You know, I understand that when you say infomercial, because when they're saying this, but it sounds like one of those studio, like, rehearsed things. But, I mean, the thing is that this is, you know, the first two people came in, there was no change, but they all have said they feel better, which
right.
is cool.
Charlie, can I see the picture? Is that a digital
I'm waiting
camera?
For a British guy, like, with suspenders to come in and go, it's absolutely amazing. They have improved their health and their breasts are larger.
Okay, not that I'm obsessing here or anything.
Uh-huh. You know, I think Charlie enjoys the fact that we like his photographic work.
That is a fine picture. Charlie, I would urge you to move in for a closer shot, though.
Should we take another?
Yes. I think you should.
All right, here we go.
My face in that.
I really think you should.
Now, while the other woman had 4 inches, this 1 inch is still significant.
You bet.
Yeah.
It is significant.
And Charlie's taking a much closer photograph.
And you can tell a difference by looking at one inch.
Nipple-rific. Really. And there's the new picture, the new up-close-and-personal picture.
Cheryl, you're very satisfied so far, aren't you? Very happy with this.
Yeah, I'm very happy with it.
Now, have guys know? Is there a guy in your life?
My husband and my son.
Ah, well, okay, let's keep your son out of it.
Please. I feel like I'm watching HBO last night.
Has your husband noticed the difference?
Yes, he has, actually. But at first, like, the one side was getting bigger than the other, and he was like, hey, there's something happening. You know, he's like, that one side is bigger. And then it evened out, though.
So your husband's pretty psyched?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you want to see a nice picture of her Christmas card, Mike? Take a look at this.
I do like Charlie's work.
From the digital camera.
Did you take a picture of him before?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did.
You did?
Yes.
Hey, that's cool. You know, that's what
closer?
I like. The before and after. No need to do it again, Charlie. Although I know you were looking forward to it.
Well, it was nice seeing you again.
He's an expert photographer.
And we'll see you in 1 month.
Nobody takes pictures of boobs like Charlie, really.
You
can see that on doctor's offices. That could be in a medical textbook.
All right, let's meet our next gal.
This is the Elizabeth Shue lookalike. I see a difference already.
Right.
Yeah.
It might just be my problem.
Really? Okay.
Hi there. What's your name?
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, hi. Do you think you've grown at all in the last month?
My husband's noticed, and I think I have, too. I think I have. I feel a lot more fuller.
More full.
Really? Well, why don't you peel that shirt off?
Lisa, what were her statistics prior to...
32 and a half.
All right, very good.
What's the need for small talk? Take that blouse off.
I told you.
Yeah, no. These girls...
I didn't oversell it, did I?
No, these girls are pretty.
Mm-hmm.
These are not like the girls that win our big breast contest.
Yes. You've grown. I can tell by looking at you.
A couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Mm-hmm. No, your boobs are nice.
I don't want to smush them.
Yeah, we don't want any paper cuts.
Having not seen them before, I could just say they're nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
33 and a half.
Whoa!
So how much growth is that?
One inch.
Oh, 1 inch. What, now you were going to say something? What's that?
For 1 month, that is normal. That's a normal growth.
Hold on. Charlie Brohill needs to take your picture.
Up close, right?
Up close.
Now, we should point out that on the website, these are all going to be generic pictures of breasts.
Yes. No,
you'll not be seeing faces.
No, yes. But trust me, you'll know the girl with the perfect nipples
right. When
you see that picture. Not big. Yours aren't bad. Yours are nice and pointy.
This is fascinating.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. I'm really glad it's successful. I'm really glad that women are having success with this.
Did you have doubts?
Well, yeah. I had big time doubts. I mean, you said snake oil. You mentioned that before.
Yeah.
I mean, when you were first here and we were doing this, it was, you know, I was kind of into the fact that women were taking their shirts off.
Hey,
other than that, you know.
I had doubts when the first two girls came in and there was no change.
Right.
Yeah.
They both still look like olive oil.
Hey, bigger boobs for America. It's true.
There you go.
Yeah.
And do you feel better, too?
Hey, hold on. Yeah, don't run out of here.
I am actually interested in that.
Yes, actually, I do.
All right.
I don't know if it's a big change in my health or anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, screw your health. Do you like your boobs?
Well, I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. And how about, like, PMS and stuff like that?
I've only had one, and I started it the day that I started, actually, my cycle.
Oh, okay.
So I haven't
all
noticed
right.
anything like that.
Right.
So,
have you been taking it the whole four weeks?
Yeah. I still have a week left on my first dosage.
So with this product, there is the outside chance that less men will be stabbed in the temple with an ice pick.
I know, Rob. More applause.
Yes.
And also, Rob
is just healed.
For more fitty sucking.
Yes, which is, the fringe benefit of all this.
Have you ever done that before with your husband? Have you ever done fitty sucking?
I don't think so, no.
What?
No.
No? Mm-hmm. Would you think about it if your boobs got a little bigger?
Oh, I'm sure he'd like.
All right, good.
Yes, I'm sure he would.
Sure. So the philosophy of this show is give him what he wants.
Yeah. All right, well, nice seeing you.
Yeah.
We'll see you again in a month. Okay, well, I think that is that it? The other girl's not here yet? Okay, well, then I think that, you know what, Angela? You're 3 out of 5.
That's
today.
That's pretty darn strong.
Yeah, 3 out of 5. That's good.
And you brought us a goodie basket that Charlie Broyhill ate all the food from.
Yeah.
There he is going through it again.
Thank you for rifling through our basket, Charlie.
Stop it.
And you've got the, frankly, I think the one girl is your success story already.
The redhead?
The nipple girl.
Well, the nipple girl and the redhead, I thought, were both pretty significant.
Now, the redhead got much bigger, but
yeah.
The nipple girl, it's like you're giving her nipple pills. I mean, that was,
I think she had good nipples before.
Yeah, yeah, she had good nipples on top of a smaller breast.
Oh, well, they're great nipples.
And
them.
You know what? I'm not doing it. These girls are taking responsibility. Gals are taking responsibility for themselves and taking the herbs and being healthier themselves.
Hey, Lisa, how many do we have that didn't show today?
Just one. Yeah.
Okay, so Buzz, you were right. It was about
no. But there were 13 girls that originally came in to audition. We ended up selecting only six.
Only six, and that's when we had them all in here, and so only one didn't show up, and that's. That's pretty darn good, though. Good track record.
Right, and I fully believe that the other two girls will have growth.
Would you take her kidney stuff? If you checked it out with your doctor, would you consider doing that?
She gave me a bottle. I'll let you know.
All right, okay.
I'll let you know.
Okay.
And I told her I'd let her know, too.
Okay, good.
Sure.
Because I'm interested in all that.
Will it make my penis grow?
My
penis has grown already today during the show.
I thought indirectly, that no, it won't make.
Are you experiencing any tenderness or tingling?
Yes.
You guys,
Rob, would
are
you like?
Bad.
Rob, would you like to feel it?
No, I'm afraid that tingling might spread. I don't want any of that.
It grosses. Angela, see if you can figure this out. Mike and Buzz and Rob are grossed out when I ask Rob to come over and feel my crotch.
Yeah, imagine that.
To indicate the fact that I'm aroused.
That surprise you at all?
No. That doesn't surprise me at all.
You got any herbs that can make him stop doing that?
Yeah, we'd love to give him some herbs that would settle him down a little bit.
Salt, Peter. I think that's what.
Put that into his Diet Coke tomorrow.
That's right. Can I make up a special formula just for yourself?
All right, Angela. One more time, your telephone number for new bus is?
800-731-9910. And if they order and mention your radio station, they get my book, Naturally Beautiful Breasts Without Implants for free, and 100% money back guarantee on it.
It was very nice meeting you.
Oh, nice meeting you too.
And we'll see you. Oh, come on now. Don't look at me in that zone of voice.
No, it was wonderful. I
mean it.
Everybody said, watch out. But you know what? You're a gentleman.
Right, well, you F all those people.
Yeah.
You give me a list of who said that to you, okay?
I will. I'll email it to you.
We will see you in a month.
All right. Thank you, Angela.
All right.
Thanks.
Get out of
bye-bye.
Here.
Bye-bye.
See you.
Oh, watch out.
Careful. She bumped the microphone
with her boob.
There's with her gigantic boob.
Bye-bye.
She said 18 kids she's had. 18 kids.
That is amazing.
Excuse me, 8 kids.
18. 18 was last night on HBO.
8 kids. The oldest is 18.
The oldest kid is 18.
Right. Is she nice?
Yeah. Well, listen, who cares about her? Those girls, some of those boobs were fantastic.
Well, come on now. We don't want this to sound like an infomercial.
Okay, why don't you be a little more sensitive about that?
That's me, just one big shill. We're going to have, we're actually going to bring in some, Paul Popiel will be on the show next week.
Okay.
Next time Don's sick, we're going to have Paul Popiel come in here and I'll be doing, what's that? The food saver,
That was bubbling underneath the whole time we were doing that,
yes,
right?
Yes, I am. You know me, I'm Mr. Sensitive.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, that was good with those girls in there.
Nice. Well, the thing is, the women are so good looking. That's what makes it fun.
Yeah.
If they were pigs, that would not be a fun contest.
And, what, 3 out of 5 was the time when there's one person out there? Maybe she's just that. Maybe they're growing out of control, the one woman that didn't show up.
Mike, in the next break, you want me to bring in your rotisserie grill?
All right, that's both you guys. We got a break, and we'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Please join Don and Mike for a beautiful weekend of Las Vegas style shows. For the first time ever, the Don and Mike Las Vegas style show does a two-nighter out west. It's at Paul Quinn College.
No, Barry, it's in Sacramento.
God damn it. I'm cutting the f***ing spot, Tony. Let's try this here again. One more time. This Friday at the Sacramento Valley Amphitheater at 8 p.m. and on Saturday the 28th, the very next night. They perform in Reno, of course, at the beautiful Silver Legacy Resort Casino City Center Pavilion. It will be one hell of a sexy time. And ladies are always welcome. Stay tuned to your local Don and Mike Love Network affiliate station to find out how to get your tickets now.
Barry, that was great.
Fuck this shit, Tony. I don't need this bullshit.
They try their damnedest. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah, baby. All right. Friday night, Sacramento, Sacramento Valley Amphitheater. Saturday night in Reno, downtown at the Silver Legacy Resort Casino. Yeah. It's our West Coast tour.
Yep.
Two big shows, Friday night and Saturday night. Both shows start at 8. Don't cost nothing to get in, and please come on by.
All right, we're going to have a great time.
We are. Good road trip this time.
Real, you know, something we've never done before. We have, we've never flown all the way across the country and done two Las Vegas style shows back to back. Who knows what type of toll that will take on us?
Do you want to know how queer we are?
How?
We've really been talking like we're really going out on tour,
mm-hmm.
right? Because Friday, with the time constraints,
mm-hmm.
we're not doing a radio show Friday because we have just enough time to get up and leave on Friday morning and mm-hmm. fly to Sacramento,
right?
Do the live show,
mm-hmm.
then go over the mountain to Reno.
We're flying in like rock stars.
Yeah.
It's weird. And you know, with the venue in Sacramento, I know it's on all of our minds. I mean, I'm constantly thinking about the fact...
17,000 people.
17,500 wow. people, and we'd like to fill it. We'd like to have it packed.
Mm-hmm. That's pressure.
It's a lot of pressure.
That's tough. I mean, otherwise it could be like when I went to see Right Said Fred in concert once. And there was like 300 people in a 3,000-seat arena to see Right Said Fred.
Yeah. And we're not going to have, you know, for anybody that's looking, you know, that's been to the show before, there will be no new props.
Yeah, right. No, yeah. Same old show.
You know, I'd like to have, like, something that they can bang up. You know what I mean? That's it. That's all I want. You know, because the last time, remember when we did it the last time, we needed a particular prop and, you know, there was nothing.
Well, I don't think we have any props this time either.
Yeah. No, I won't do that. I'm going to have to hold back on all my, you know, my need of having, like, prop meetings and things like that. I won't do that. Because, you know, it's useless with all our right. bandy, with our merry band of mutineers here.
No, it'll be what it always is. It'll be you and me out on stage, right. What it always is.
What's Rob talking about?
Rob was kind of giving me a friendly wave. Like, he'd accept the prop meeting.
I go. I'd love to go to a prop meeting with you.
A prop meeting.
We'd have on smoking jackets.
Yes.
Talk props. I think we give the folks what they've come to expect, especially out there. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm really looking forward to doing
this. Be great shows.
Are you guys going to use any different makeup because it's such a bigger venue? No, we'll probably dress the way we always dress, in the same the same foundation with a little rouge for me, and of course Dom with the is it going to be the gray eyeshadow again?
Yes. Well, that's what you like.
I like that a lot. I really do.
And two, you're going to be doing the kabuki makeup, right?
Yes,
yeah. Your tribute to Japan.
Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yeah, hey, the rouge and gray eyeshadow gods.
Right, hi.
Just wanted to make a point about the Sopranos. Remember, Christopher, he didn't buy the crazy horse. He actually won it from that bet that guy he lost.
Well, the guy had a gambling debt. That's right. I don't know whether he exactly. specifically lost it to Christopher.
Right. And he took it over, and his wife took it over.
Yeah, no matter how he got it, whether he bought it or he got it in a gambling debt.
Moved in like they did with the sporting goods store. That's right. What happened.
Uh-huh. He gave it, though, to, what's her name? What's his
Adriana?
His name? Adriana, yeah.
Adriana.
Yeah, she did have the Sopranos, didn't she? the Soprano family.
Well, she did Polly Walnuts. Isn't that what we think, that she did Polly Walnuts?
We think.
Yeah, there's been a hint of the fact that she slept with Polly Walnuts.
Right. Thank you.
In his like one room efficiency.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Radio Legends, how's it going?
Hi, it's going great, thanks.
Hey, I understand you guys are coming to my hometown.
Where's that?
Portland, Maine, May 11th, State Theater.
Yeah, you know, Jesus Christ, listen to the schedule we have.
We're the hardest working DJs in show business.
Not that we're complaining at all, because it's great, but listen to what we're doing. This weekend, West Coast, Sacramento and Reno. Next week, New York City. Mm-hmm. The week after that, we're going to Portland, Maine, do a live show from WZAN, do a Las Vegas-style show.
Right.
The week after that, we're going to Ocean City, Maryland, do a show at 96 Rock, and then we're going to be doing a live show at the Rusty Rudder,
all right,
up in Rehoboth, and then, or Bethany, wherever it is. And then the week after that, we're going back to New York to do more WNEW stuff.
Incredible.
Yeah. I don't think we've ever traveled this much ever.
I don't think so.
Either we're going to have the most fun we've ever had,
or after, you know, halfway out to Sacramento, we're going to start killing each other.
I bet we have more fun.
I think we're going to have a lot of fun. I think we'll have a lot of fun throughout. I think it's going to be fantastic.
I'll be at the show regardless. I just have one problem.
What's that?
I had scheduled a big state inspection with state officials for our program that I run.
Oh, we should cancel the show.
About 20 people.
Well, we should cancel the show then.
No. I'll be there.
Okay. So
I already had my shirt made up. It says Mike Ox fit for governor.
Okay, goodbye.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Big fan.
Hang up.
No.
Yes. It had nothing to do with our show. It was the world according to him.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Joe here, Don and Mike. Can I wear a high drag to the Las Vegas style show this time?
Oh, yeah.
Are you coming to the West Coast, Joe?
Yes, I am.
But Don and Mike, hobo Joe here.
I'll be in Sacramento and in Reno.
Very good. That's fantastic.
Are you planning to have lots of gay anal sex out there?
Well, I have had a lot of dates already asked when I'm online talking to folks. They said, are you coming out, and when are you coming out?
No, I keep telling you, beware of the online dating, Joe.
I know. I told him, I said, I would be too busy, I can't do it.
Are you really thinking about coming on stage in drag?
I've thought about it, just to do something different.
Uh-huh. Why don't you, Joe?
The only thing, I don't do makeup well, but I'll do the best I can.
Well, you know, you should do it for both shows. You can't do it for Sacramento and not do it for Reno.
I'll see what I can do for you guys.
Hey, you know what? I bet Lisa could do your makeup.
Is she coming up?
Yeah.
She's coming up, and she could do my makeup.
Well, somebody could do your makeup. Uh-huh.
Well, yeah, I think Charlie Broyhill.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Oh, Charlie. Big lips.
Hey, Joe?
Yes, sir.
Who? You just call him Jew?
Yeah, he's just, you're not Jewish, are you?
No.
Joe?
Okay.
I'll do your makeup.
You'll do my makeup?
Yeah, I do it all the time.
Okay, I'll bring it with me then.
Hey, it's too bad we don't have some Jewish gay guy. There's a homo Jew. Homo Jew and homo Joe.
Well, maybe we'll just have to get Joe to convert.
There you go. I can convert. There you go. That would not be hard.
And any of you Jewish guys who were in the Army,
mm-hmm.
Be G.I. Jew.
G.I. Jew.
So, looking forward to having lots of fun out there, guys, and then I'll bring lots of cocktails. I'll set up, do a nice table set for you, like I did last time.
Excellent.
And you can get a mobster, Jew Pesci.
Yeah, Jew Mama. be a whole this different guy.
A new spin on the Jewish mother.
Right.
Absolutely.
Jew Mama. All right. Hey, Joe, listen. Real quick, let's do a bet among us. How about a dollar? Are we ready for a $1
bet?
Very
good.
Yeah. Or the last time Joe had gay anal sex?
All right, I'll say maybe 2 days ago.
I'm going to say yesterday. Mike has Saturday. I have Sunday.
I'll say Friday.
Friday.
Are you okay, Buzz?
Yeah, I just choked again. And Robbie, you went in?
Yeah, Sunday morning.
Sunday morning, Robbie says.
I'll say Friday.
All right, Joe, when's the last time you had anal sex?
It's been dry times. It's been last Friday.
A week ago Friday?
A week ago Friday.
Wow, we all lost. Wow. We're all big losers. We each owe Joe a dollar now.
Oh, absolutely.
That's probably the first in a long time, but I've had this cold, so you know how that goes.
Is it just a cold, Joe?
Yes, it's just a cold.
All right, very good.
Allergies.
We're always very concerned about your health.
Yeah, whenever we hear cold,
actually allergies. It's from this pollen and all that kind of stuff.
Right. Okay. You need to get yourself some penicillin, Joe.
I got all my allergy medication, so I'm all set and ready to go.
All right. Take all the medication, no matter how much of a hassle it is.
You got that right.
All right, homo Jew, we will see you out in Sacramento on Friday.
Okay, see you then, guys.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's good. I'm glad that, one of our revolutionaries
Childers is coming out there with us.
Excellent.
And don't forget, Dennis is coming, too.
Dennis is coming. Is Cheryl coming out there?
The Big Dyke? I don't know.
She, you know, I mean, we it, to be a complete show,
yeah,
it would
we need
be nice.
Cheryl out there.
She's not a big traveler, though, is she?
I don't think so. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Why is that funny?
I don't know. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Hey, I hope this has no bearing on your travels up to Portland, but it's just a little warning on the sense of humor up here. I called in to a one of those Make a Comedian Laugh contests on the local radio up here and gave them the joke that got you guys.
Which one?
The Christopher Reeve.
Which Christopher Reeve joke?
What's black and sits at the top of the stairs?
Christopher Reeve?
After a fire.
Right. Yeah. Right. And I mean, you can call different radio shows and you won't get the same response.
I mean, what were you calling? Were you calling like a morning zoo show or something?
Oh, yes. The Wacky Morning Zoo. And it was Make a Local Comedian Laugh. And
but you, so you, you're going to indict an entire town's sense of humor over that?
Well, no. But hopefully they won't be there greeting you, these local people. I don't know who's hosting it, but I guess it's not.
You keep saying local people and you're talking about a particular radio show.
What? Let me see if I follow this.
Okay,
you're calling the Breakfast Flakes or whatever the local morning zoo show is. They have, and what a stupid contest that is. Hey, we've got Bobby Sheldon here, who's appearing at Giggles.
Mm-hmm.
Tell a joke and make Bobby Sheldon laugh and win a prize. So you call in with a legitimately funny joke that made us laugh one time when we didn't make us laugh on the show. And, you know, listen, what do you expect when you're calling a milk toast, you know, where the station everybody at work can agree on, even the boss?
Well, you're not going to get the reaction that you would get on a show like this.
You know, even if those disc jockeys thought the joke was funny, and I guarantee they thought it was funny.
They're not going to laugh.
Funny is funny, right? They can't laugh. They can't laugh.
Right.
They can't because...
I mean, it's their job not to laugh at that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's their job to, you know, go, that's awful. There's nothing funny about that.
Right.
That's a bad joke. That's horrible. You should feel bad.
Are you from that area?
Yeah. I live there now.
I mean, originally?
So what
What was the reason for the call? Because the joke you told that you heard on our show didn't go over well on a morning zoo show. You all
just to show that you guys are indeed the greatest on earth because you get it.
No.
I think you're backtracking.
You know, I grew up. You know, half my time I would be up in Maine, and let me tell you right now, the senses of humor up there are very much intact. I think that's a reason the show does as well as it does up there. I mean, you know, really,
it might just be you, sir.
There is the dark side up there.
That is an possibility.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we do well up there. That's why we're going up there.
You kill, I'm sure.
But I mean, your joke didn't go over.
I think I got on the wrong foot. I apologize.
Well, you called the wrong show with that joke. You don't say, hey, the people up here. That's the way you put it.
You called a douchebag and douchebag in the morning, you know, doing the happy good morning breakfast flake show.
Please. Right.
Consider the source.
Wrong audience.
All right, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
And next time, call with the joke I had today about the people that were in that airplane that was shot down. Mm-hmm. But they were in the missionary position.
That's awful.
That's a funny joke. That's a joke. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, you've got the Bath Crystals, KBTH Wacky Morning Show, broadcasting from the bathtub. Looking to call in and give us your funny jokes this morning.
Are you really? Hey,
KBTH,
Kevin. Hey, listen.
No, go ahead, caller.
Knock off the disc jockey stuff. Are you really in a bathtub?
Yeah, I'm KBTH, broadcast live from the bathtub. Let me turn my hot water down for you. Go ahead, Connor. You've got the Bath Crystals radio show, Wacky Mortgage Zoo. Give us your joke.
What kind of tub are you in?
I'm in a clawfoot tub.
A what?
A clawfoot.
A clawfoot tub.
Are you really in a clawfoot?
And I got soap going on. I'm turning a knife.
What kind?
Big color.
What he's describing is one of those big old-fashioned yield tubs that sits up on feet.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, clawfoot. Go ahead with your joke, caller. Make us laugh when we're in the bath.
All right. Get out of here, please. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hi.
Hey, I want to tell you guys about the voiceover guy they have on 1300. He has the worst list in the world, and I have no idea why they would give him that job. Mm-hmm.
Was that our station in Baltimore?
Yeah, it sounds like he has marbles in there. He's like, this is the best cellular phone things that you can get.
I must be Stan the Fan.
It's got to be Stan the Fan.
It's terrible.
Hello there. If you're looking for a serious phone that's really going to make your life change, and you'll be just as popular as Cal.
Hey, listen now, the Ravens, I want to tell you something. You really helped themselves in this draft. Don and Mike love talking about me on their show, but I want to tell you something. I'm Stan the Fan, and I'm much more successful than they are. They're fantastic disc jockeys, don't get me wrong, but they're not guys that are for Baltimore. They're not guys that belong in Baltimore, and I'll tell you right now, I give the Ravens an A-plus on that draft. Don and Mike, I want to tell you how they do things on their show. They have a sales staff that goes out and sells commercials. But me, Stan the Fan, I go out myself, and I sell my own commercial for my show.
Hope all you listeners of WJFK will be joining me out at Pimlico. I'll be at Pimlico all week long for Preakness Week. I'll be out at Ruth Chris Steakhouse doing my Ravens show on Monday night. I'm Stan the Fan. Oh,
my morning show at night.
Time for another BM. My 13th of the day.
Hey, this is Stan the Fan, and you're listening to WJFK in Baltimore. I say so nobody listens to except from 3 to 7 in the afternoon.
Tonight, we'll be starting up our conversation of another dicey start for the Orioles. But I think Cal's going to get that batting average up because he's Cal.
And listen, stop all this Ray Lewis talk.
Come on.
That's so far behind him.
Right on.
This is Stan the Fan.
Go on.
I hope he doesn't strike out.
I hope so, too. If he strikes out again, I'm going to go right over to Bromo Seltzer Tower, and I'm going to throw myself to my death.
Wouldn't that be a big one? On top of that, I'll go to the Domino's Sugar Tower, and I'll eat so much sugar I explode.
How about this? I can top that. I'll go down to the Inner Harbor, I'll jump in the water, and I'll drink that harbor water right in back of one of those tourist boats.
I'm going to suck some showers.
I'll swim all the way over to Fells Point.
Stand the Fan.
Sugar.
You can stand the Fan.
From anybody does it, let me just hit you. Look. There's this guy in Baltimore who's on after us.
Right.
The guy has the worst Baltimore accent and a lisp, and he's
Stand the Fan.
Tonight we'll be talking about all sorts of horse jockeys. Who is your favorite jockey for the Preakness?
Pat Day. Yes, Cherie. I'll tell you, Angel Cordero. This portion of Bowling Scores brought to you by English's Fried Chicken. Over the weekend, Mike Elson from Fairfax, Virginia had a 267.
When the Fan family goes down the ocean, we always shop at English's Fried Chicken.
It's the best chicken in town. Now, listen, I have a DJ stunt I'd like to announce. Hi, this is Stan the Fan.
Hello, Sam.
I'm going to take the tolls in the harbor tunnel till Cal hits 320.
Good luck with that one, Stan the Fan. It's going to be a long way. He's having a tough time at the plate.
Not since I was up on the billboard waiting for the Ravens to score their first touchdown when they had 4 games last year with no touchdowns.
I'll tell you right now, if Cal doesn't get a base hit in the next game, this is Stan the Fan. I'm going to go down to the local crab house and I will eat all hell big pile of crabs with the shells on. With the shells on. I'll eat the crabs, you understand me? With the shells on.
And what I love best is when he gets a call about us.
No. Let me tell you about this. They're not from Baltimore.
That's right.
They're from D.C.
They're not Baltimore guys.
I'm from Baltimore.
That's right.
I'm the most popular person on WJFK.
They wouldn't know a natty bow if somebody gave it to them as a repository.
I'm sitting here eating my Get This Bullseye caramels.
Caramels.
Pronounce it right. What am I thinking? My caramels.
Caramels.
Where, what town are you from?
I'm from Baltimore.
Me too. This is Stan the Fan.
Hello, Stan.
I'm the king of
Television Hill.
TV Hill's fantastic. I was in a restaurant the other night, and Marty Bass was having a rockfish stuffed with cabbage. And I walked right over and I said, listen, I know that Dynamite give you a hard time. They do for me, too. I'd love to talk about it, but I gotta go have another BM.
I was having breakfast with Captain Chesapeake. He's on Channel 45. And we saw Denise Coke from Channel 13. And I said to Denise Coke, I said, do you know that Dawn and Mike called you a whore one time on their show?
The other day, I was sitting there on the subway, and I was squeezing Don Scott's zits.
Do they have a subway in Baltimore?
I don't know. I'm from D.C.
I don't think so.
Do they have anything underground?
You know,
yes, they do. You know what's underground?
What the harbor?
You know what you
it's
were on?
It's so far underground, it goes right under the harbor.
I know where you were. You were on the tram.
I was on the tram.
On the trolley.
That's right. Going right by that stadium with the purple seats. And PSI, that stadium, incidentally, that company's bankrupt now.
They don't have no money at all.
None at all.
None at all.
No.
Focused in town.
No money.
So I'm sitting there talking to Don Scott, and I said to him, that skin will clear up if you stop eating those dogs from Toe Like Johnny.
Oh, yes, sirree.
There's nothing like it. Nothing like going up the yards. No, like going up the yards for a Baltimore Orioles game.
Listen, that Don and Mike, they do the show that they do, and frankly, that's the type of smut that I don't want to deal in. They are not from Baltimore, and I guarantee you, they're not going to be talking about when Johnny Oates left the O's.
Oh, I was so angry, I almost threw up my boobs barbecue.
I was so frustrated. Here's my question tonight.
Sure.
Who is the greatest third baseman of all time for the O's? Was it Brooks or was it Cal?
Let's not forget that. Wasn't it Mark Belanger for a while there? Or was he a shortstop? He was a shortstop. Come on. Come on, Stan. Use your noodle.
My phone lines are open. My phone lines are always open.
Fantastic. I love it. I'll tell you right now, there is nothing like watching the Oriole birds sing, thank God I'm a country boy. That meant when you know you're at a birds game.
Time for SK Hot Dog.
Give that fan a contract.
Hey, they already tore down. Did they tear down
Memorial Stadium?
I think they might have.
Oh, no. That's a crime.
No.
That's right. They stopped
them,
didn't they?
They started, and they knocked a hole in it, and then they had to stop.
They stopped it. That's justice being served.
I'm glad.
Justice being served, because I'm hoping the Colts eventually come back to Memorial Stadium, and play their games there.
And I wanted to bring back Johnny U.
I don't care how much success the Ravens have. I'm still a Colts fan.
Dig up Chuck Thompson.
Don and Mike are not from Baltimore.
I got all of Chuck Thompson's caps.
Hey, Don and Mike one time said that they'd have sex with a dead, stiff body of Chuck Thompson.
I'll tell you right now, there's no place for them in the city of Baltimore.
He's not dead. Who's the guy I'm thinking of? Who's the guy who was the anchor guy for Channel 13 on television?
Jerry Turner.
Yeah.
And the other guy passed away, too. Must be some sort of health problem up
they got
at Channel 13.
They got a death wish at Channel 13.
It's a scary situation right now. I was talking to William Donald the other day, and I said, you ought to run for mayor again. I know you've been governor, but you ought to run for mayor, William Donald.
I wonder which. Hi, folks. This is Stan DeFano.
Hello.
Or WJFK, and I have a thought tonight.
Hi, Stan.
Which would smell worse? 500 pounds of Old Bay seasoning.
Ooh, that's a good smell.
Or Sally Thorner's bicycle seat.
We're talking Baltimore TV. Or Marty Bass's mustache. The morning after a late night out.
Oh.
Or underneath Marty Bass's toupee. Does he wear it anymore?
No. He took that off after he got busted with a hooker.
That's right. Yeah, no more toupee for Marty Bass.
This is Stan the Fan, everybody. Thanks for listening.
I'm broadcasting live inside of one of Don Scott's park marks. Good to be here with all of you. Baltimore.
Hey, Baltimore. Let's have some pride.
You understand? Don and Mike are coming up to town. Get your drinks full. Throw them when you're ready.
Because remember, they're outsiders. They're not from Baltimore.
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 But of course, we've been back since then. Bohagers. Bohagers in Baltimore. I bet they serve Natty Bo at Bohagers.
I bet they do. Hey, we gotta go. It's been a real pleasure talking to you.
Thanks for getting us off on this tangent.
No problem.
Okay. See you later. See you around town.
Wash your chopstick.
Bye. Stand the fan, boy.
Wash your chopstick.
What is that? Wash your chopstick.
Wash your chopstick.
What?
All of a sudden, he got all weird on me. I don't know.
Some kind of cryptic message.
I think we ought to send him up to Hopkins for a CAT scan.
This is Stan the Fan.
Hello.
We talk local sports here in Baltimore. Hey, we're going to be talking about the Baltimore Blast tonight. Indoor soccer.
Absolutely. And I'll be eating more X-Rex because I'm surely constipated.
Stan the Fan hasn't had a good stool in a long time. I have the hardest impacted stools in town.
Listen, Don and Mike don't know Baltimore.
They profess to know a little bit about the city of Baltimore, and they don't know anything about Baltimore.
They don't know anything about Baltimore. They know about downtown the ocean, hon.
I tell you right now, they don't know anything about Fells Point, Pointsville. They don't know nothing about the area.
Towson.
I'm out. He's right.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else.
That's about it. I tell you, we've exhausted our supply of Baltimore knowledge. I
think we have, Stan.
Grandma's Center, Paper Lock County, Memorial, Camden Yards.
Hold on!
Air Harbor.
Hold on!
You got one?
How about Dundalk?
Dundalk! Yes, here we have. Can we skip that one?
D.U. in Dundalk.
Fantastic. And one more good one. Gotta go up north. Pandemonium.
Don't forget Ronnie Town. Utah Street.
Utah.
Oh, that's right down by the Inner Harbor.
E-U-T-A-W.
It's spelled Utah Street.
Utah.
Utah.
Stan the Fan.
You're on Utah Street right outside the Inner Harbor.
Near the convention center.
My show comes on every night at 7 because I'm important. And I'm staying the fan.
That's right. I'll preempt those bastards from D.C. and I'll have a Pellock County half smoked. Thank you.
I think we've got to show that maybe five people are laughing at right now.
Well, I certainly hope that the city of Baltimore is enjoying this right now.
Yes. I'll be at the ESPN zone right by the old power plant.
Boy, all those newfangled restaurants. Why they got to bring those in there? Just keep the same old places that are over in Little Italy.
See, at the National Aquarium. Another reason I'm proud to be from Baltimore.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
Okay, that's all.
Our tribute to our sister station, as we like to call it,
WJFK.
Right.
JFK Jr.,
mm-hmm.
Our station in Baltimore.
Very nice.
Where we're loved and respected by all.
No, of course.
Most of all, Stan the Fan.
That's our tribute to him.
Our show will be cut off in about an hour for his pablum tonight.
Yeah, maybe about 45 minutes.
As they broadcast live from some steakhouse, because he goes out there and sells the commercials himself.
That's right. All the porterhouses all I can eat.
We will be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Rated, the Don and Mike Show.
It's Don and Mike, and it's big, baby, big.
What they don't know can fill a book. Don and Mike.
I think we owe them a mention at the end.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
1-800-MATTRESS. We just did a live commercial for them that was,
Really?
It was an abortion.
We got kind of caught up in our theme, which we're often want to do.
We sure are. Angela Harris was here earlier. Her product, a new bus.
Oh, boy.
Is available by calling this number, 1-800-731-9910. You want to see before and after pictures of the breasticles of the five girls that came in today.
All right.
We're going to get a link going. Go to www.donandmikefans.com.
You'll see the improvement.
The official, unofficial side of the show. And that's where you'll be able to click on and actually see the girls. And please don't pixelate out the nipples. I mean, don't put the blue dots on the nipples like they did on that guy during the Kennedy trial.
Yes.
I mean, show the nipples.
Can they?
I don't know. I think that maybe that might, it's something with CBS. CBS doesn't want to be involved with pornography or hard to believe. I mean, they're making money every other way.
Yes, well, they have their limitations.
So anyway, we'll have the pictures of the girls up on that website, and then they'll be back in a month. We'll take more pictures, and you'll be able to check the growth on your own.
Very good.
Now, someone we've not heard from today.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
I don't want to say that she's avoiding our calls, but we have tried to, for the last week now, get a hold of our friend, the lovely TV star Leah Remini.
Yes.
Because, frankly, I'm worried about King of Queens.
Mm-hmm. You're worried about King of Queens being up against the new NBC juggernaut?
Mm-hmm.
You are the weak thing. Goodbye.
Boy, they do throw everything at that show, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, it just seems that Kevin and Leah, you know, struggling away at King of Queens, and they go up against ABC and NBC. They throw their heaviest material at them.
Yeah, they were one of the first victims of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Right. Right.
And now, just now that King of Queens is starting to be a regular in the top 20, I think it was like the number 13 show 3 weeks ago, all of a sudden comes this...
the weak thing. Goodbye.
And, you know, these shows, when they splash, when they make their first splash landing, they, you know, they get a lot of ratings.
And, frankly, I just wanted to talk to Leah. She's very honest. She's very upfront to get her feelings. I don't doubt that she is feeling a little worried about the challenge from this new NBC show. And, frankly, I was hoping we'd be able to draw her out of her shell and get her to say some bad stuff about the lady Ann Robinson, who's the host of The Weakest Link.
I'd take Leah in a prize fight between those two.
Oh, yeah.
And so would I.
Absolutely. What about Jerry Stiller versus Ann Robinson?
I think Ann Robinson probably kicked Jerry Stiller's ass.
Right, so. But we've not heard back from our friend Leah yet.
That's sad.
Although I don't think that... you know, Charlie Broyhill is the go-between there.
Right.
I don't think he has called and put it exactly as I've put it. I don't think he's called and said, hey,
how do you feel about the new show up against
you? Yeah, the hottest show in the history of the world being on against King of Queens.
Now, how many times? They ran it, what, three times last week?
Yeah, right. And the ratings got bigger every time.
Oh, boy.
And now the regular slot is going to be tonight, Monday night, 8 o'clock.
So it'll be on once a week against King of Queens.
Yes. Right. Absolutely.
Every week.
It's a lot of pressure.
You know, but, I mean, King of Queens has been in that Monday 8 o'clock slot for, what, 2 years?
At least, yeah.
Three, I think.
3 years, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Maybe so.
You know, but if I'm NBC, I put it there.
Right.
I mean, it goes against Boston Public. Who watches that show besides Buzz? And tonight there's some stupid movie on ABC, Kiss My Act, with Cameron Manheim. So, I mean, why not put The Weakest Link on? That's a smart move by NBC, I think.
Now, when do they wrap up? When do Kevin and Leah wrap up shooting for King of Queens? Not too long from now, I would imagine.
If they're not done already.
Right.
What, Robbie?
I would have to assume they're already done, because don't they normally air the last at the end of the May sweeps, right?
So perhaps it's a summer hiatus for King of Queens, and Leah might have other projects she wants to talk about.
Well, I think they've been renewed. I think they're going to be at last, at least they're going to be on, it'll last through next season.
You can tell by the production values of that show that they are, you know, putting more money into the show. Uh-huh. They're doing more high-budget stuff, yeah. So I think they're doing fine.
And NBC could move The Weakest Link. They want now to put it on against Millionaire so they can kick Regis's ass.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I love it when you say kick ass.
Thank you.
No offense to Leah or Kevin, right. But if I was NBC, I wouldn't move it.
Yeah,
I'd leave it right there, right where it is.
You think it's going to knock off of King of Queens?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll tell Leah that.
Don't you tell her that. I'll deny it. I'll swear I'd never said it.
I wouldn't do that to you.
You are the weak thing.
You know, we're always very competitive when it comes to the three of us. And I include Charlie Broyhill in that trifecta.
Yeah. You know what? As a matter of fact, forget you. Yeah. He's probably already on the phone with her right now.
Nonsense. Weakest Link's going to kick your ass.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello there.
Yeah, I was hoping to talk to Mike.
Yes, you're on the air with us. Hi.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, two things. One, Kiss My Act, it's Cameron Manheim. It's supposed to be about an overweight comedian, you know, like a la Rosie. I mean, Roseanne.
Right.
Yeah. So I thought you guys might get a kick out of that. And also...
Hold on, about Rosie. Oh, hold on. You mentioned Rosie O'Donnell. Rosie O'Donnell.
An update on Cyrano de Bergerac. He couldn't be more off base.
Really? So he's wrong in the assessment.
Yeah, but other than that, you're right on, sir.
Cyrano de Bergerac, the guy with the nose?
Yeah, except instead of a big nose, she's got a big ass.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Well, can I do something else real quick?
No, hold on. I want to talk about Rosie O'Donnell for a second.
And her staph infection.
Her hand.
Yeah. That. I saw today on Inside Edition, I think, the funniest picture. You know, she's not been doing her TV show for a couple of weeks because she had, in what I believe is an extreme wiping accident.
Uh-huh. She probably cut her hand and then went right into the bathroom and got a horrible infection.
Right. She cut her hand on one of her anal hairs when she put this back there because they're very sharp, Rosie O'Donnell's anal hairs.
Yeah, it's like piano wire.
And her butt is loaded with thick, coarse
hair that can cut flesh.
Yeah. Oh, like a Brillo pad down there between your butt cheeks.
Yeah, and, you know, she's never taken our advice to use the, you know, the tongs.
The tongs, the salad tongs.
Right.
So, yeah, here's the sound of Rosie wiping herself.
What the hell is that?
That's our sword swishing sound
effect. So the hairs would be
that,
the consistency of a fencing sword.
Yes. Like shards of very, very sharp glass.
Yeah, dodging them all the time. They're not really, you said matted before. No, they're more like individual, long, very sharp.
You know what they're probably like? Like in the commercial for the shaving gel?
Yes,
where they show the cartoon about how the razor lifts and separates.
Yeah, the only difference would be they would both have razor sharp edges and a very sharp point.
So for like the last 2 weeks, she's not been on her TV show because of this hand injury that she had. And she's had all of her cow friends doing the show, like Joy Behar.
Barbara Walters,
you know, everybody, all the bitches from The View. Mm-hmm. Well, the story over the weekend was that Rosie O'Donnell was going to let the kids down, mm-hmm. that she wasn't going to host the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards.
Right.
Well, Sunday night or Saturday night, whenever it was on, I guess that because she's such an amazing trooper,
yeah,
she managed somehow to gather her strength and do this show.
Hand bandaged.
And they showed a picture of her hand backstage, and it looked like maybe 3 stitches here by her index finger, and maybe another 3 stitches here by her thumb.
Right.
Other than that, I don't see what the medical emergency is.
Oh, she has been talking. You know what she's been talking about? She's been talking about how she could have died.
Yeah, she said she was in danger of death because of
or amputation.
Amputation.
Mm-hmm. Right. They were going to either amputate her hand or one of her fingers, or if it persisted, she could die.
I mean, come on.
They were going to wrap it up like a kielbasa. Also, I think it was during that or when Barbara Walters was on her show, she had to wear an IV fanny pack. She was on an IV drip, like, as a fanny pack.
Yeah.
That's how bad her infection.
Pouring antibiotics. She had an IV going into her ass, or she was...
I don't know.
Or you mean she had it, like around her waist.
Yeah, but it's interesting you say that, because don't IVs work by gravity?
Yeah.
So it would have had to be going somewhere below the belt.
Unless it was one of those electronic pumps for pain. You know, I'd like a doctor to call and say, now, what did she do? She was slicing something. She was,
crafts with Parker, wasn't she?
No, she was cutting a price tag off a fishing line when she took the kids fishing, and she accidentally cut her hand.
All right, so let's say a worst-case scenario, that you cut your hand with a fishing wire.
Mm-hmm.
Does that really... Could that really lead to amputation or death?
Yeah, I think it probably could. Any cut could lead to getting, you know, if you were, you know, living out like in the outback,
okay,
and you didn't have access to any modern medicine.
Bingo. Don't you think that she got right in her limousine and went to the fanciest hospital possible immediately?
I would think so. You know, but I do believe that it might speak to some of her hygiene habits that this became a very severe. Really, think about it. I mean, why would that, if you cut yourself like this.
Yeah.
You run right to the what's the stuff that my wife puts on my
Actine?
Kids' guts? It's a antibiotic.
Betadine.
Kaopectate.
No, not Kaopectate.
Neosporin.
Neosporin.
That's what you put you put a Band-Aid on it. You put Neosporin on the Band-Aid. Bam. You're in business. She obviously let this go to some extent where it became a staph infection.
You know, I just figured out that was Keanu Reeves' last name in The Matrix.
What?
Neosporin. Don't you remember they always say to me, your name is Neo?
Oh, really?
My name is Neo.
Really? And his last name was Sporn?
Making a joke. Never mind.
Oh. Well, we have had to see that movie, too.
You've not seen The Matrix?
But it was a long time ago.
They say, hello, Neo. And he says, my name is not whatever his name is. My name is Neo. And then he stands up and he does the high karate.
You are super into The Matrix.
I like The Matrix. Always have.
It's a good movie. It's a good movie. I didn't remember his name, though.
Neosporin.
King of the Neos.
Okay, all right. I've totally stopped the show. I'm sorry. We had a good rhythm going there talking about Rosie O'Donnell and her ass hair. Sorry about that. But The Matrix was a popular movie. Maybe I'm the only guy in this room who realized that Keanu Reeves was named Neo.
Well, the issue of the infection, though, is, I would think, speak to Rosie's There might be a hygiene problem.
Lack of cleanliness.
That's what infection is.
She says she didn't bathe for several days when she first got Parker. Because she read that if you adopt a newborn baby, the baby needs to get used to your smell. So she didn't shower for several days.
Oh, that poor baby.
Now
the baby's only happy if he's at a fish market.
That's interesting. I'd love to hear the real detailed doctor's description of what caused this. I mean, I guess he can get a staph infection from anything.
It was a deep cut. I mean, she cut some tendons, and I guess she was complaining of the pain from that. But a deep cut is, I think, more inclined to infection than a shallow cut.
And they looked in there, and it was full of corn and peanuts.
So there you go.
All right, what else, sir?
I read something over the weekend. I thought of you guys immediately because I know how you love to trash on Michael Eisner. Do you know that his son is now hosting a website, and Father Time can start looking this up today, and he'll probably find it tomorrow, romp.com, and it's got segments with animals having sex, and it's got a feature on there called the breast cam, where they've got a small camera between a woman's breasts, and it's like shots of men leering and stuff like this, and it is the total slap in the face. And apparently they've got a tagline on there that this is no Mickey Mouse S, so it's just a total slap in the face to the eyes.
Are you sure it's Michael Eisner's son, or is it not his half-son or his stepson or something?
His last name is Eisner. Yeah. Apparently he grew up in the household.
I read of this before. It is his son.
So rebelling against dad.
And I want an apology for the Father Time remark. I've been at the website for a couple of minutes now.
There you go.
Ha!
Have it in front of me.
Take that. What's it say, Buzz?
It says Romp Mafia. Members Bill and Ted, Booty Call, Coach Bigot is apparently one of their characters. Free S.
Coach Bigot, isn't that Rob's name? That's Rob's alias.
Rob's
they have the Girl of the Week, the Romp Girl Competition, and so on.
Yeah, Rob's new movie, Forget the Titans.
Hi, everybody.
Whites only. Whites only. I'm Coach Spiewak, Coach Bigot.
I'm Rob Spiewak. What other flags can I save?
Forget the Titans.
Nazis. Uh-oh, that can't be good.
Hello.
Hello. From Baltimore, Maryland, the new heavyweight champion of the world is Haseem Rockman.
Is Rockman from Baltimore?
Yeah, one punch knockout over Lennox Lewis Saturday.
Anybody get that fight?
That's another reason. No, are you kidding?
Lewis fell like a tree and bounced his head on the canvas.
That's just another reason for more civic pride in Baltimore.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right.
And I liked your mattress commercial. I heard it over the phone line.
All right. Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Thank you for the
feedback. I'm going to go out and buy one.
You know, whenever I see an upset, I wish I'd seen the fight. I wish I'd gotten that fight. It would be, you know, but the heavyweight division is not what it used to be.
The guy knocked out Lennox Lewis, BFD.
Yeah. I thought Lennox Lewis was going to, you know, hold on to it for a while. I really did.
You know what always makes me laugh about Lennox Lewis? And he gives back the different accents and stuff.
Oh, right. With his British accent.
But he's a brother.
Yeah.
Right.
But he talks like this. He talks like Hugh Grant.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Hello, yes. I'm really looking forward to this bout.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to knocking him out. And obviously, he got the best of me.
I mean, you look at him and you sort of go, you know, yo, yo, yo.
Right?
Yo, I'm calling you out.
You might be surprised at this. Looks can be deceiving.
Yes, I know.
You can't judge a book by its cover.
Instead, he is that sissy Notting Hill way of talking.
Hello. Yes, I you see his... His fist seemed to have balled up and caught me on the jaw, making me fall like a tree, like a redwood, to the canvas, where I lost consciousness and, of course, lost the bout entirely. And that the sound you hear is the sound of Rosie's arse hairs. So sharp, they can cut tendons. Beware, you could give yourself a rather nasty staph infection.
Let's clear these lines now. Hold on, do you hang up on him? We did have a doctor on the phone about staph infections.
I'd love to hear that.
We'll get him back. We're going to do the contest now.
All right.
Trying to give away $500 with secret sound number 3. A common everyday sound that can be heard in the home, in the office.
Everybody knows it on this show except me.
In the schoolroom. Especially in the schoolroom.
Oh, boy. Oh, Mike had a thought.
I got it.
He's going to write it down.
Write it down.
Okay. He's excited.
Okay. He's gleeful.
He may have it.
Wait a minute. I'm giving one option here.
Okay, hold on. Write it down. Let's see if you got the secret sound. Everybody else be the 100th caller right now at 877-365-3636. I'd say...
Yeah, you think he's got it?
Yeah, that's
he's got it.
Ah, welcome.
Yeah!
He's got it. The contest is officially over now.
Yeah! I got it!
You got
I got it!
You got it.
I know what it is!
You got it.
I know what it is!
You got it.
You can too, people!
He's $100 right now.
You can do it.
If Mike can... If Mike can do it, anybody can get it.
You're right. I'm very dumb when it comes to this game.
Be the 100th caller right now.
Number one, Arbitron Lady, the Don and Mike Show.
And in my club, I will bless the pot whenever the f*** I please.
Next to breast milk, the Don and Mike Show is best.
Thank you, dude. We will be on West Coast this week. Friday night, Las Vegas-style show in Sacramento.
This Friday?
Yep, this Friday. We're in Sacramento Valley Amphitheater. Capacity 17,000 people.
Wow. We'll get right back to Washington after that.
Giant outdoor venue. No, Mike.
No?
Saturday night, another Las Vegas-style show.
The Reno show is immediately the next night?
The next night. Both shows start at 8 p.m. In Reno, we're going to be at the Silver Legacy Resort Casino.
The night after Sacramento.
Right. Friday night Sacramento, Saturday night Reno.
All right.
We'll update for you on Monday's episode.
Very good.
You know, since we discussed it about 3 hours ago, the guy that I was on the airplane with.
Yes.
Lisa tells me we've had about 10 people with Tourette's.
Legitimate Tourette's people.
Legitimate Tourette's people calling.
Right.
So it looks like we'll be having our off-air Tourette's party very soon.
Very good. And we'll record it and, of course, bleep out all the stuff we can't play on the radio.
Right. And it'll be a chance for you and I to pretend that we have Tourette's.
Very good.
Because we'll be in the room with all the people who have Tourette's. And she says that generally, most of the people who have called have been positive about this field.
Well, yeah, that's what I said when I played in that golf tournament. These you know, people that are afflicted with this have a sense of humor about it.
So we're going to have a big Tourette's party, and what we're going to do is we can't do it live on the radio because with the Tourette's, you scream out something like MF and, you know, sea sucker. So what we're going to do is we're going to, one day before the show, a couple hours before the show, we're going to go in the conference room upstairs. Everybody will have a microphone.
Right.
We're going to have food and drink, and we're going to put these people with Tourette's syndrome in stressful situations, meaning that we're going to, you know, be playing trivia games with them, demanding that we're going to be like the Ann Robinson, demanding that they answer questions immediately.
We've got tough questions for you.
Until they finally crack. And then when the, you know, when the Tourette's start flying, we will be able to play it for you back on the show, beeping out the cuss word.
That sounds like a very good response from people with Tourette's, and I'm looking forward to this.
Ten already.
It's another one of our wonderful medical experiments.
And think about all the people who have been trying to call, but every time that they call, they go, I got to call Donna Mike, MF, and they've just not been able.
Yeah, and then they just bag it.
They get nervous. Themselves.
Exactly.
They can't. So look, if you've got Tourette's, and you want to be a part of our Tourette's party show.
Right.
Call, because we can do that very soon.
Very good.
Here in the new edition of The Globe, the one that says Kathy Lee has a new guy.
Yes.
And that Hillary Clinton has a secret disease. There, in fact, is a picture of Rosie O'Donnell's extensive, life-threatening wound. And, Mike, I give to you as evidence from page...
This is cool. I haven't seen this yet.
Page number 43... Okay, take a look at the wound on her finger that she claims has kept her out of work for 2 weeks and is nearly killed her. Has nearly killed her.
That's right. And
What did she... What, if she cut her finger, why did they have an incision on her wrist? Did she cut the wrist, too?
She cut her hand there as well. Or that's the way I've heard it described, anyway.
But look at that. That's
not a life-threatening injury.
No, I'm telling you, that's from... Her ass hair.
By the fishing thing.
That's from her wiping herself and cutting her hand on the coarse, tough hair that's coming out of her bunghole.
This is amazing. But she's had three operations so far.
Yes. Yeah, and look at the picture.
This is weird.
It's nothing.
I don't buy it.
I mean, you know.
I mean, I legitimately don't buy hacking the price tag off of... You don't cut yourself that badly doing that.
No, and I'm going to count the stitches right now.
You cut yourself in one area.
One,
this is weird.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 stitches.
Do you see where she's got a cut on the wrist and then she's got that zigzag cut on her finger?
Yeah.
if you're hacking away at a price tag, you cut yourself once, and then that's it.
The one on the wrist almost looks like
suicide.
It's on. Because the wounds are not consistent with just slipping.
The scar down her wrist is right in the very middle of the wrist.
Yeah.
And the cut on her finger is actually, it's on the FU finger.
Right, exactly.
On her...
it's just weird looking. It doesn't, you know, that...
On her left hand.
Doesn't that sound PR-ish, too?
Yeah.
I was opening a new fishing pole for Parker. I mean, it sounds like it came right out of a PR... office, doesn't it, Buzz? A little bit?
It's possible. Sure, anything's possible.
I don't believe anything that comes out of a publicist's office.
Think the worst of her as we do,
okay.
Buzz. Please?
All right.
Do they at all look like teeth marks? Like it could have been a bizarre rib-eating accident?
You know, it just seems to me, you know, does it look like a life-threatening wound?
No.
Does it look like the kind of wound you would get just by cutting through, you know, a price tag?
No.
I mean, you can hurt yourself, obviously, when anybody that's ever used, like, a razor or something to open something up. Mm-hmm. But that's it. Those are two separate wounds.
The story is she cut the tendons in her hand while hacking the price tag from her son's fishing pole.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Those are two. I mean, you've got one up on the wrist and one down on the finger. It's weird.
Doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
Doesn't make sense.
And you know what? That excuse for how she did it is way too perfect.
Well,
I'm the perfect mommy. I was opening a gift for my child.
She must be a lying crybaby then.
Yeah.
There you go. Thank you, Buzz.
That's the only thing left.
Thank you, Buzz.
Yep.
Thank you. Maybe she got it when she was eating some poontang.
She put her hand where it shouldn't have been.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Poontang.
Yeah, an alien came out.
Well, no, I don't know. Perhaps she injured herself somehow in a sexual romp. Perhaps she was...
You know what I think? I think perhaps a fit of anger. Like maybe some throwing.
That's possible.
Some tantruming. You know, we've heard that the diva has quite the temper.
Yes, we have.
That's possible.
It looks like a temper injury. I wouldn't know that, but I've had a few severe injuries. Do you remember the time I almost cut my head clean off because I was having a fit?
Yeah. No.
Having a temper tantrum.
No, I know.
Don't you remember when Rob was there?
We had a prop meeting.
Yeah, I was at a prop meeting and we didn't have the right props, and I got really angry, and I shook my head around and walked into a lamp, cut it right down to it was just hanging by a thread.
Almost clean off, Mike.
If Rob hadn't been there to sew it back on, I don't know what I would have done.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, I am caller 100.
Yes, you are. Hi, what's your name, please?
My name's Jay.
Hi, Jay. Where are you from?
Spokane.
All right, beautiful. Jay, listen. Oh, here you go. Enjoy this movie. Meet the Parents, okay?
Oh, good one.
That's a good movie with Robert De Niro and Ben Stiller.
Yeah.
You won it on pay-per-view from Cox Cable System. The Flick Fest prize pack. Enjoy Meet the Parents. And remember, I'll be watching
you.
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 Now, you're going to play for $500 and not to put any pressure on you.
All right.
But Buzz figured out the sound last week.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And today, moments ago...
Mm-hmm. Mike figured it out.
Yeah,
hey, he's calling me Mr. Smarty today.
I think I know it.
Oh. Mike, you know we love to call him around here, the LCD man.
Yeah, that's me.
Lowest common denominator, man.
You got it. Here I am. I wear that badge.
Proudly. So if Mike got it, we hope you get it.
It's
worth $500.
It's easy.
Please don't answer until Mike says
EWF.
Oh, good.
Earth, Wind, and Fire?
You got it, man.
Okay, we wish you Godspeed.
Caller, name this sound.
There it is. Oh, the dreaded clicking sound. In the home, the office. The learning facility. If we do give away the money, it's courtesy Main Street Title.
Reasons that we're here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very Charlie-esque.
I know. Falsetto is not my forte, but I know the sound.
For $500, what is it?
Is it a three-hole paper punch?
Mike, is it?
Can you be more specific?
Well, if you got a blank piece of paper and you need to punch the hole in a binder.
Okay.
Mike?
No!
Isn't that fun?
That's great fun. You have so much more fun than I do with this contest.
Fun! Fun! No, you didn't get it.
Sorry.
No.
Thank you, though.
Thanks.
Don't forget that every guess is
a clue for you.
A clue for you.
That's right. Sorry, sir.
You damn dummy.
Yeah.
Yum dumb.
Now I know why you guys get so bummed out when somebody guesses this.
Yeah.
It's more fun to be in the know when everybody else is not.
Yes, it is.
So that's okay. I'll still play it the way I always do.
Okay, good.
Like not knowing until half an hour before somebody guesses it.
No, you know what? Good for you. The guy didn't get it.
You did.
So technically, I've got a day. You have a whole day of feeling superior now.
I'm taking my wife out tonight.
We're ready for the news of the combat.
Yes, we are.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people. He made it up.
Is your lead story the way that Mike's acting because he knows what the secret sound is?
Yeah, what do you have for us this evening, Bill?
No, our headline tonight is TV prepares for the death of a pope.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
Should we get my music ready?
You might as well.
The real pope?
The actual pope.
Is he dying?
Well, the TV networks seem to think so.
Okay, stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show. That was very what, Mike?
Professional, Don.
Yes, you're right.
Number one, Arbitron Rated. The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Let them read your lips. Don and Mike.
Hey, look, I just found this out. Later this week, I don't know, tomorrow, the next day, we'll be giving away a weekend trip or two to New York to go to a Yankees game.
Yankees!
I took two from three. Or?
Two out of three from the Red Sox. Won the last one in extra innings in the 10th inning. Two home runs. David Justice got the winning home run.
A walk-off home run by
Justice. Walk-off home run, something David Justice knows how to do.
Come into the HBO film 61. That, of course, is, well, you know the story.
Yes.
I'm going to read it the right way this time since they're taping this.
I have to tell you something after you get done plugging this.
Don't miss the HBO film 61 premiering Saturday, April 28th, 9 p.m. 61 tells the inside story of the home run race between Mickey Mantle and Roger Maris. 61 was directed by Billy Crystal.
I'll tell you this. I'm watching the Yankees-Red Sox series at home and in Hartford, Connecticut, which is on the dividing line between Red Sox and Yankees fans. They had on Channel 3 up there, I think it was Channel 3, the telecast for the Yankees with the Yankees announcers Bobby Mercer and Tim McCarver.
Tim McCarver.
And about the third inning or so, they were joined by the illustrious Billy Crystal. And everything you have said, everything you have said is true. Based on listening to, I finally put the being a Red Sox fan, finally put the television on mute. Listening to Billy talk about the uniforms, Billy talk about the swings, Billy talk about the authenticity, and on the Saturday game, which I watched, which the Red Sox won, incidentally, the fans were all wearing 61 caps.
Watch on HBO, this will be the last week that it airs, the making of 61.
If it's anything like Billy sitting in and at one point saying, am I talking too much? And he was, there was no coverage of the game. I know he's a Yankee fan. I know they're homer announcers. Give me just 5 seconds in an inning to talk about what's actually happening.
No.
You know, and he's just going, I'll tell you right now, it was great because when Roger Maris' widow came up and saw you, you know, he said that, hey, that's Roger Maris right there.
He's queer for both guys. He truly is. 61, that's the number of times that Billy'd offered himself up for an anal intercourse
right.
with both Mickey Mantle and Roger Maris. He said, do me with your Louisville slugger. That's the number of times Billy Crystal bent over. 61. And that's why it's 61 asterisk.
Mm-hmm.
It's really 61 asterisk.
Exactly.
But it's going to be a decent movie.
Yeah, with all this, I actually do want to see it. It actually looks like it's going to be pretty good.
And later this week, we'll give away a free vacation to New York to go to the Yankees game. Now here is Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. American TV networks are preparing for the death of a pope. It was obvious on Easter that the health of Pope John Paul has deteriorated seriously. And now, the New York Post says the TV networks are making arrangements to cover the pontiff's passing and the selection of his successor. Excuse me. CBS News has paid...
You sure it's the Pope who's dying?
Yes, I'm positive of that.
Just checking.
CBS News has paid $180,000 to reserve for its cameras a terrace at the Atlanta Star Hotel.
CBS outbid CNN for what may be the best view of St. Peter's. CNN says it's since found another spot, but won't say where. That's how competitive it's gotten.
They got a camera in Atlanta?
The Atlanta Hotel, it's called.
Okay. You know, as a matter of fact, Buzz, I think we've got somebody who's a little upset.
I'm sure.
All your death-mongering here, we have evidence, hard evidence right now, and I mean hard evidence.
How you doing?
That His Holiness the Pope is doing fine, is nowhere near death. Rock hard, blue steel, cat couldn't scratch it. This man, I present to you, His Holiness, is in 100% fine health. How are you, sir?
Look at my funny hat.
Yeah, I know, you're fine. Everybody's saying you're about to die. What do you say to that?
I eventually will die because I'm a man.
Flesh and bones,
right? But I guarantee I will live longer than this geriatric, weed-smoking hippie who's doing the news on your show.
You're going to live longer than Buzz Burbank?
Oh, please. Yes, I will live past this Friday.
Did you get a chance to watch the NFL draft this weekend, Your Holiness?
I did. I thought, great move by San Diego, trading Michael Vick to Atlanta. I also enjoy Lakers over Blazers.
Oh, you're a big basketball fan, I understand.
My hoops.
You look so healthy. Well, all these rumors about your death, it must be upsetting to you.
Me so horny.
You actually know when you're going to die, though, don't you? I mean, you know the day.
Yes, I do.
But you can't reveal that, right?
I will tell you.
Really?
I will tell you off the air.
Okay.
Because now I know you know the secret sound. I'll let you in on the secret.
Thank you.
Because you're a smart man.
I'm a very smart man. I got it right away.
I'll tell you this, though. The last thing I do before I die,
yes,
I'll be having sex with Marsha Elston.
Oh, my goodness.
Your whole
silent animal sex.
All due respect, wrong on all counts.
Oh, and we will be having sex on the gravestone of Michael Elston.
Boy, he's upset. Well, Buzz, you had this story. You had to know that would upset him.
You dare to say that I'm dying.
And he sounds strong. No, I didn't say that, Your Holiness.
And look at the snake in my pants tell me I'm dying.
That's pretty significant, Your Holiness. You know, I couldn't let you get out of here. I've been meaning to ask you about something. What with your knowledge of sports and your connection to, you know, the man upstairs.
That's my son.
There's a bet that I have with my partner, Don.
You're a big loser.
Oh, no. Yeah, you know what the bet is, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you have the gift of sight. You know what I'm going to ask you.
The Red Sox will not even make the playoffs.
I will be shaving my head.
And one more thing.
Yes.
Yaz is a fag.
Oh, that hurts me.
Always was.
That hurts.
Always will be.
Oh, man. You really mean, Your Holiness.
I like you, Mike.
I know you do.
It's you, Buzz.
Yes, I know, Your Holiness, but it really
How
isn't
dare
me.
You?
I'm just telling what the networks are saying.
It'll be a tough break for you, Telly. I need to shave your head. Okay. But
well,
you can pull it off.
Well, I know. I'll do that.
Buzz?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Your hair will grow when you're in the ground.
That's true. A full, bushy head of hair.
He is not happy with you, Buzz.
Like a fingernail.
I'll get over it.
I'm alive. Didn't you see me during my show on Easter Sunday?
Oh, you look fantastic to me. I thought you looked strong. I thought you got many good years ahead of you, Your Holiness.
Thank you, Lex Luthor of Mara.
But, of course, you are going to go eventually because you are a man.
Just a man.
Just flesh and bone. Any parting words for Mr. Burbank over here?
Yeah. Eat my spunk.
Thanks, but no thanks.
It doesn't get any worse than that from His Holiness.
I'm sure it doesn't.
I got plenty of it on tap.
That's what you say.
Old man.
I hear it's dust. The networks will also want to get a view of the Sistine Chapel to try to catch the first puff of white smoke that indicates the selection of a new pope. ABC News has purchased exclusive rights at the Rome Hilton.
Who do you like for your successor, Your Holiness? Who are you picking? Do you have anybody in mind when the time does eventually come?
Yeah!
Who are you thinking about?
Carrot Top.
He's very good.
I love his jaw.
Is he still your favorite comedian?
Oh, he makes me laugh.
Got a lot of gags in that suitcase, doesn't he?
He makes me laugh. You know, I saw puffs of white smoke recently.
Did you really?
Coming out of the home of Buzz Burbank. Sweet smoker.
No, Your Holiness, I think you've gotten some misinformation there somewhere.
Just watch it. And don't forget, eat my spunk.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Eat it up, all of it, because I'm alive.
It's not going to happen either.
I'm virile. I'm alive.
Yes, you are.
Eat it good. And I love your Tourette show. Great bit.
Thanks for the blessing on that one.
Great bit, yeah. Bless you, Mike.
I was feeling a little dicey about that, but I'm glad I got you okay on it.
Yeah. You know, you're one of my favorites, Yule.
Thanks. You know, and I'll tell you right now. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I was actually in a Catholic church over the weekend, too.
Okay.
Yes, yeah. I thought, how do you feel about that, Your Holiness? Are you happy about that?
You should not go in there.
Well, yeah. Well, no, I mean, I'm allowed.
They kicked you out.
Yeah, well, my wife said I might burst into flames when I walked in. Fortunately, that did not happen.
You about your wife?
Yeah.
She doesn't need new bust.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, good. That's good to
I
know.
I heard she's got great teeth.
Well, yes. Who told you that?
Mike did during a commercial set today.
Yes, he did. That's good. Thanks for sharing that, Your Holiness.
See you.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Come on, Your Holiness.
He's trouble.
Bye-bye. Listen, that Pope. But he's just a man.
That Pope.
Flesh and bone.
Flesh and bone. Lex Luthor.
Here's Mike walking into a Catholic church.
Oh, my God. Somebody put him out.
Yeah. He was upset with you, Buzz.
Yes, I understand that.
Very upset.
Oh, well.
It's been a long time, Buzz.
Yeah, well, I'm not Catholic, so.
Long time. We got to do a break.
Okay.
Hold on, please. We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Radio. The Don and Mike Show.
Your gums are back.
Jesus effing Christ.
Is that right?
The Don and Mike Show.
Here is Buzz with more news. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, the American naval commander who sank a Japanese fishing boat saw his career end today. Got a letter of reprimand and forced retirement.
Get to know Charlie.
Sorry, everyone.
Commander Scott Waddle wasn't court-martialed, and he won't go to prison for the accident that killed nine people.
Waddle-daddle-do.
He will apparently get an honorable discharge and a full pension.
I think it's this way, Charlie.
No, this way, Joe.
No, this way, Charlie.
No, this way, Joe.
No, this way.
No. Wow.
There's some sound from the bridge.
Waddle's lawyer says the former commander will meet with the families of the victims once he is officially retired in October.
Uh-huh.
Peru says a missionary plane thought to be a drug smuggling plane was shot down because it failed to identify itself. American officials are still saying the plane did identify itself and that it had filed a flight plan. So the dispute continues over a case of mistaken identity resulting in the death of a woman and her baby. Ironically, our own CIA had asked a Peruvian pilot to check out the plane, but because that pilot and the pilot of the missionary plane were on different frequencies, they couldn't communicate.
They're all in the missionary position.
Peruvian Air Force officials...
There it is again.
Thank you. ...couldn't find the missionary plane's flight plan.
Thank you, everybody. Missionary position.
You're here all week.
There will apparently be no pilot strike at Delta Airlines.
Oh, hey, guys.
That means the Delta shuttle will continue.
Hey.
Congratulations.
The airline and the pilots union reached a tentative agreement yesterday, saving our third biggest airline from a paralyzing strike at the end of this month. The pilots themselves still have to vote on the contract, which has been over a year and a half in the making. Delta says the deal will make its pilots the highest paid in the industry. Listen to this. The contract reportedly includes pay raises between 24% and 34% over the next 4 years, and a 63% raise for the pilots of Delta Express.
Maybe they get some prettier waitresses then.
Yeah.
I like it when pilots get more money. That's okay with me.
Reassuring.
I mean, we've kind of disagreed about that in the past.
I don't think
you pay pilots enough money.
No. You pay them based on, just like I want done with weathermen.
Uh-huh.
The weatherman predicts the weather correctly.
Right.
He gets a bonus. The plane is supposed to leave at 8:30.
Oh, okay, that's right.
Supposed to arrive at 9:40.
I forgot about this tribute to safety right here.
If the guy makes it on time, The guy gets his full salary.
Yeah, if you clip a few power lines on the way in, if you're on time, you get the money.
We're important travelers. We have places to go. We got to be there on time, Mike.
Both of you share that. You know, no tours around the Grand Canyon like I like.
God, I remember that one flight. Pissed me off.
That was beautiful.
We're going to California. The pilot's on wasting our time.
Ladies and gentlemen, off the left side of the plane, you'll see the Grand Canyon right now. I'm going to stop and we're going to take a little scenic tour here. I'll take about 5 extra minutes out of my flight.
Mike leans over and says, look at this. And I'm like, what the F is this pilot doing?
I said, he's touring the Grand Canyon. Oh, isn't this great?
And he goes on and on about it. And people are trying to read, sleep, talk, and they can't do any of those things with him yakking all the time.
Just shut up and fly the stupid plane and get us there on time and you'll earn your money.
Stop and smell the roses, boys.
Buzz, hold on, we got to do this.
Okay.
I'm sorry, be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show. The critics love snacks. They'll talk better if you listen harder. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hello, Don, Mike Show.
Yeah, I am gonna, 100, Don and Mike Show make me a winner.
No. Hey, were you on the train next to me?
Hey, Don, Mike, I tried to call you Friday. I'm looking for the pot paper.
Oh, yeah. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I am the 100th caller.
What?
I can't hear you guys. I didn't know if you guys were doing it yet.
Oh, I got it. You're from a market where we were cut off earlier?
Yeah.
You get a free pass then.
Okay.
Oh, bye.
Yes, Rob.
No.
Be kind, Rob.
Bye.
Provide joy. Yeah, where's the sign, Rob?
Right.
And now here is Guy Birdley again with more news and comment. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. A family from Canada did not enjoy their flight on Continental Airlines sitting next to Bernie or whatever the dead guy's name was.
Ooh.
The family was returning from vacation in the South Pacific. The flight stopped in Bali to pick up a man in a hospital gown. The airline says it's obligated by agreement to transport critically ill passengers from South Pacific's islands to Hawaii.
Don, you are on the air, sir.
Continental says the flight was full, so they sat the man next to this Canadian family. And once the plane was back in the air, the man gurgled and gagged and drooled and choked and died.
Hi there. Attention, students. Hi, this is Surf from WJFK.
An honor and a privilege is the next to you, sir.
And sat there dead next to the Canadian family for
what?
The rest of the flight.
Oh, really?
Family says the airline could have handled this better. Continental says, not really.
Hi, this is Surf.
An American Airlines jet had to make an emergency landing in Phoenix today because some people are unbelievably stupid. Flight 651 from Los Angeles to Miami was carrying 167 people. One of them brought a bottle of weed killer on board in his carry-on bag.
Oh, I know you hate that, Buzz.
It was a bottle of diazinon, which is one of the substances you're not supposed to bring on board. It spilled, and people got nauseous and short of breath. Firefighters and hazardous materials crews helped evacuate the plane. Three people were taken to hospitals.
So those are quality guests.
If you like a good mystery, you'll love this. Gasoline prices have jumped nearly 13 cents a gallon in the past 2 weeks, and oil prices have stayed the same.
Well, that's not a mystery. They love to rape us.
Apparently.
They're raping us with the gasoline things that we put in our cars.
The nozzles.
With the nozzles.
Yes, they are.
The biggest two-week jump in gas prices in 50 years, not factoring inflation.
Ooh.
In Terre Haute, Indiana, they've already started selling T-shirts to mark the execution of Timothy McVeigh.
Yeah, the T-shirts say... Timothy McVeigh is a major effing star.
Those are the Dennis Murphy shirts that I'm sure will be on sale there when Dennis goes. The Hoosier Hospitality shirts also bear the words McVeigh, Terre Haute, May 16, 2001, Final Justice. The local artist who designed the shirt says they really aren't selling very well, but he says he thinks that'll change as the lethal injection date draws closer. Another local man's covering all the bases by selling pro and anti-death penalty shirts. He sold about 100 so far. But an anti-death penalty spokeswoman says she thinks it's completely inappropriate to create souvenirs for this event.
Well, Dennis Murphy, as you mentioned, will be covering the McVeigh execution for the Don and Mike Show. He'll be in Terre Haute, or as he likes calling it, Terre Haute.
Terre Haute.
Both the night before and the morning of the execution.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, he'll be at a steakhouse with prostitutes and Dan Rather.
That's right. Remember, Mr. Murphy likes to travel with a high-class hooker.
Absolutely.
Always.
And you know what? I think it's going to be ground zero for all those people who are not quite right when he goes out there.
Yeah.
You're going to have every crazy for about 1,000 miles in every direction.
He'll make a friend. He'll touch a hand.
Sure he will.
Just one. Disney says it will station full-time paramedics at its theme parks in Anaheim, California, starting next month.
Disney World.
A spokesman says the idea is to streamline emergency services.
Disneyland.
He says it has nothing to do with the recent accidents at the park.
I want the bodies disposed of. As soon as someone's hurt on the teacup ride, I want the body chopped, minced, and distributed all over the plants, the flora and fauna.
Mr. Eisner?
Yes, what is it? I'm busy.
We had a problem on the Dumbo ride today.
What happened tonight?
A man fell out, cracked his skull clean open.
Oh, really? Did you dispose of the body?
Yes, we did. We did as you asked. We took the remains, and we are now putting them into the hamburgers that we're selling in the Magic Kingdom.
That's fresh meat. You just save a fortune on beef, especially with all that European stuff going on. And are we still buying our cows from Europe? The ones that really don't have the disease.
And is it true your son is an internet pornographer?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
He is an internet pornographer, and we've got the finest steak that money can buy for 1 cent a pound. You know, why kill those cows when we can chop them up and make them into lovely Disney T-bones? Thank you for coming to Disney World.
Disney World.
You're an enterprising young man. I'm going to give you some hippo boots.
Four paramedics will cost the Disney company nearly $1.5 million a year.
Buzzy, one more, please.
London's subways smell like oil and grease, and not all of that is petroleum. There's also the smell of sweaty people. So the Brits are turning to the French for a solution.
Oh, right.
That's good.
The solution is a
that's
French...
That's good, because who stinks more than the British?
Oh, that's right, the French.
The solution is a French perfume that'll be sprayed regularly into the world's oldest subway system there in London. It's a special version of the perfume Madeleine, which the French don't like very much. They say it smells to them like room freshener or, perish the thought, underarm deodorant.
Yeah, you might as well say F you to someone in France. You say, underarm the other.
Oh, go away. Please give me my eggs.
Buzz, thank you for the news and the comments.
You bet.
Time now for a Call 100, a prize package we selected especially for you.
Yo.
Yo. Phone number 877-365-3636.
Oh, for you.
Yo. Yo. Be the 100th caller right now. Good luck.
Number one, Arthur Conway, the Don and Mike Show.
And she was saying that she was 2 weeks pregnant. And I didn't believe it because when you're just two weeks pregnant, you can't really tell just because you haven't seen the administration.
Cleansing your ears with a daily DNA shower. The Don and Mike Show.
And here's Buzz.
In sports, Utah Jazz guard John Starks has been cleared to play in tomorrow's NBA playoff game against Dallas after spending a night in the hospital with abdominal pain. Starks practiced today. A team spokesman says the star guard thought he had some bad ice cream.
You can't even get sick of this day and age.
Dale Jarrett leads NASCAR's Winston Cup standings this week with 1,345 points. He leads Jeff Gordon by 145 points, Johnny Benson by 150, Bobby Hamilton by 170, and Sterling Marlin by 192. Pittsburgh and Los Angeles are playing at home tonight with 3-2 leads in their best-of-7 Stanley Cup playoff series.
Yeah, win that $100 tomorrow when the Capitals lose tonight.
Sure looking good for you.
Washington Capitals are visiting the Penguins, and the Kings are hosting the Detroit Red Wings. Finally, Scandinavia is known for its open-minded ways, but a case in Helsinki, Finland has everyone perplexed. The folks in an apartment block have asked for an official ruling about their sauna. And the one resident in their apartment block who is transsexual. She's registered as a woman and has breasts.
Tell me how pretty I am.
She also still has a penis.
Uh-huh.
She's been given certain hours to have the sauna all to herself, and she is allowed to bathe with the men. The men don't seem to mind. But because she considers herself a woman, she wants to bathe with the women.
Wash my bung.
Quoting the building superintendent, as soon as the penis goes, she's free to go to the women's sauna.
All right.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
No. Thank you, Buzz. Go away. No. Yeah, that's it, Mike. Sorry, we'll come back tomorrow for a fresh one.
Okay.
We're going to be in Sacramento on Friday night, in Reno on Saturday night. Listen to your local stations for the Las Vegas style show update.
That's coming up real soon.
This weekend, Mike. Our thanks to Angela Harris. Her product, New Bus, 1-800-731-9910. See the before and after pictures, stage number one, of the girls and their ever-growing breasts.
Yeah.
By going to the official, unofficial site of the show, www.donandmyfans.com. That's it. We're out. See you tomorrow. Oh, a mystery guest tomorrow. The mystery guest postponed from last week.
Oh,
right.
Very good.
Do the dance. Hello, Don Muncio.
Caller 100.
Yeah, what's your name, my friend?
Hey, this is Eric. How you guys doing?
Hi, Eric. Where are you from?
I live over in Landover.
Eric, you are the 100th caller, and you have won the pay-per-view of Meet the Parents. I'll be watching you. Call your local Cox Cable Systems to order Meet the Parents now playing on pay-per-view. Thank you, my friend. Hold on.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Hold on, please. That's it. We got to go. We will see you tomorrow. with the all-new episode. What did you do? What am I missing?
I did something horrible.
What did he do?
All right.
What did he do? Come on, hurry. Okay, all right, okay, all right, you're right. That is,
you did that?
I did that, yeah.
Oh,
that's bad.
I know.
That's bad. Way to go. Thank you, good night, Bud.
Thank you, good night, Don.
Thank you, good night, Bud.
Thank you, good night, Don.
Don't you yell at Rob and I anymore.
I won't.
Don't yell at us anymore.
Never again.
Rob.
Yes.
Please, throw your hat in the air, just like Sidney. You might make it.
Oh, God.
Oh, F.
Oh, man.
Oh, see you tomorrow.
So long, everybody.
Bye-bye. Trust party.
Will we meet again? San Diego is here. You're saying, yeah. Be kind. Be nice. And I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
Number one, Arbitron Waiting. The Don and Mike Show.